Blog Talk Radio.
He is the last of his kind. All that remains of a once powerful nation. Some think he is a myth. Some believe he is the chosen one who will bring balance to a world at war. And some will stop at nothing to destroy him.
Welcome, Moors, to Moorish Talk Live 100. I'm your host, Tahaka Omana L. Bay. And Ladies and gentlemen, we are dealing tonight with Moorish in America, law, contracts, and court, and we got a great deal of very important information, and I want to reiterate some things here this evening so that we can be sure to have it down right, because a lot of us still don't believe there's certain things going on in the country. A lot of us actually still believe that the United States is a country. It's not. It's a corporation. There are states, what we are calling states, that are not even a state. Most of us would think that Florida is a state. It is not a state. And there are quite a few of them. There's only 13 of those. Anyway, we're going to go through this information. I want to say that I'm offering free articles this evening. The 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game and How to Play, and Secrets in America. And you can get that by sending me an email at tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I'll rush that right on to you. Also, we have added a ton of information to the library, over 94 videos on survival alone, and over 56 videos in the new link of discharging debt. There's a ton of information there for you to glean from that, and a lot of other extra information that has been put there. We've also put a couple of books inside the Moorish government section there. So those of you who have those archives, make sure you get over there. For those of you who are on your social site, send me a friend request to Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and I'll grant that friend request, and that give you access to my wall and the different information we put there for your educational purpose. There. Now, and also those of you who are on LinkedIn as well, we're going to be pulling out of here around the end of the month. We'll be over in Louisiana doing some teaching, and then from there we'll be going up to Virginia to do some more teaching there. Tonight's broadcast is Moorish in America, Law, Contracts, and Court. And we're going to try to answer the following questions. What is the District of Columbia Act of 1871? What is Title 18? What is Secretary of State? What does it mean to advocate or revocate? How do zip codes remove your rights? What is the get-out-of-jail card all about? What should you do and say in court? How do you win before you go to court? Do judges break the law? These questions and much more we're going to attempt to answer for you, so pay close attention. I hope you got your paper and pencil ready. We're going to start off where we left off last time, and to make sure that we got some clarity on this. One thing, we got to get some clarity on this. I want to make sure we got clarity on it, okay? So you all sit tight, and we'll be going directly into the segment for your education purpose. And don't hesitate to raise your hand.
This is Jeep Batiste, Survive and Thrive TV. We're here with The Ray. He's an American seeking freedom, and we're up here in 29 Palms. And he's part of a group, a community of people that are similar in beliefs of seeking freedom using the Constitution.
Well, we try to use the Constitution as it's written, because we found that when you try to go into the courts and you're using things that they're not familiar with, you know, like certain processes and this and that that we've run over the years, they look at it and they don't understand it. And I was a kind of a salesman at one time. I was a recruiter, a very bad one, I have to add, for the Marine Corps. And that if somebody is confused, what we found, their answer is always no. Yes, if you're trying to sell something to somebody and they become confused, they're going to say no, even if they want it.
Could you talk about the community up here that you have of people seeking more freedom?
Well, actually, it's not a community. If unless two or three or five or six people can be considered a community.
Okay.
Yeah, there's, you know, just guys hanging out, and we all have been affected by what I was just talking about, by these unwarranted, unprovoked, you know, stops and things like this. getting tickets for, you know, just no reason at all, practically.
Could you give me some specific examples of some of the things that have been done to you guys in general?
Well, to me, I consider myself to be kind of a pathfinder, right? And what I did personally was I went through the DMV code and I found things in there that, you know, kind of rocked me. And one of those things that I found in the DMV code was that if you are not using, and in California, if you're California, the DMV code section is section 260, California Vehicle Code section 260, where it states in there in part that if you're not using your car or your private truck for commercial purposes, that you are actually exempt from having to have registration, licensing, and forced insurance for the use of your automobile.
So in other words, you believe you should be able to use your car freely,
right,
and not have to have a license, not have to have registration, and not have to have insurance.
Right, and I'll give you what most people do not know. Most people do not even know what the definition of a license is. Okay, so I'll give you that definition, and you can look it up, and you'll find different wording, but loosely. License is the ability given by some higher authority to do something which would otherwise be illegal. Now, I ask people, is it illegal to get married? Is it illegal to protect yourself from harm in a bad area? Is it illegal to walk down the street? Is it illegal to get in your car and go down to the store to get a gallon of milk? You know, and most people are dumbfounded when I ask simple questions like that because they don't understand how deeply rooted this licensing thing is. Now, think of something that the government says that you can do without a license. Breathe, you know, be born. But they demand that your mother and father have a license before they can produce you. They look at the marriage union as being illegal if you don't have a state-granted license. Now, one man that I listened to for many years, Constitution man, he said that it had gotten so bad in this country that if the government said that you've got to get a license to walk and you've got to be down at the post office at 7 o'clock or 7:30 tomorrow morning, he said that there would be people lined up out the building and around the block to get that walking license. That's where we are in this country.
Well, they are starting to, I ride a bike a lot. They're starting to institute licenses for riding a bike, which is
right. So
insanity.
Riding a bike is illegal to the system. But where are these laws emanating from? They're emanating from these private for-profit corporations, and they're always looking for new ways to create profit.
Well, let's drill down on this driver's license issue, okay? Because
right.
That's pretty hot on people's minds,
right,
especially since a lot of Californians are having their driver's license suspended because these $500 traffic tickets, and also
they can't pay them.
They can't afford it, and because they're getting multiple tickets.
Right.
And I'm also hearing that if you don't pay your property taxes, now
right.
Jerry Brown is starting to go after property taxes. They're starting to suspend licenses for a whole variety of taxes and fees that people don't pay. And the answer, the typical person would say, pay your fees and pay your
right.
fines and pay your things,
get
and you won't have a problem.
Right.
How would you respond to that?
I respond to that in this way. This corporate system, when the corporate entity known as Jerry Brown and the corporate entity known as the state of California decide that they need more profit, they're ever seeking more and more areas to get that profit and cranking up the fines for not complying with their wishes. And, you know, I can't say that anything can be done about it, but what I can say that what they're doing is wrong. You know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist or a genius to figure that out. That the corporate state is criminalizing everything. And how long will it be before just living will require you to pay a tax just because you exist. And that may sound like a joke, but it's not so. The UN has proposed just such a thing. Just because you're alive, they want to impose
it. It kind of already exists because if you drive a car, own property, you have a job, there's always costs associated with that.
And driving. See, that's another issue that, you know, when we came in, we were talking about the driving issues, right? Now, everything in law must be defined. Yes, everything, every word in every code, every 90 million plus and being added to every day, code and statute, every word has to be defined. Now, we're used to speaking in common vernacular words that when we say drive, we mean getting into our car and going down the street to get a gallon of milk. But when the codes and statutes say drive, they mean something entirely different. That to them, and this definition is under Title 31, that driving is a paid commercial enterprise, that you're being paid by an employer to operate a motor vehicle. Now, in legalese, words are not words like you and I use every day. They're terms. And terms have very specifically and narrowly defined definitions. And that's part of the game. When you put an S in front of W-O-R-D, what do you get? S-W-O-R-D, what is that?
Sword.
Exactly. And you put an S on the end of it, you get swords. They're using the words that we commonly use every day, vernacularly, as swords against us. Oh, so-and-so was driving at 50 miles an hour. The system, the worker bees, the drones, basically, the police officers, they don't understand these differences. But what they've done is that they've basically made everybody a commercial entity operating, which is a commercial term, for operating a motor vehicle, which is a commercial term for profit. They've made everybody a commercial vehicle driver. Therefore, they feel they have the right to tax you into the ground, make you pay to do those things on the roads.
Now,
what we're trying to do is contest that we're commercial vehicle operators.
And how's that working out for you?
I've had success doing it for about almost 3 years, 2 years and some months. Like I said, every cop in this town knows me or knows who I am.
Well, they write you.
They never bothered me for years.
They have to write you a ticket.
They can't write a ticket to me for what I do. Everyone that has used the method that we were using, that we are using, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration exemption, it's called the MCS 150, they cannot write a ticket. So they always look for something else to try to write a ticket on. They can't get you for that.
Could we get that information that you just said on a piece of paper?
Well, it's on the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration website. Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration website.
And what is that particular information?
Well, they're above the DMVs of all the states. They are the big brother to all of the states' motor vehicle.
And when we go there, we should just read it, or what should we be doing?
Because there's an application. And there is a certain way, which, you know, I can't explain the details right now. But right in on the website, there is a section, about the middle section, that has an exemption for people who are using their automobiles other than commercial vehicles or their trucks.
And if you file this exemption,
you'll
have proof.
The application, and you'll get a letter from the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration, which I have, that will tell you that your exemption, they don't call it an exemption, but that's what it is. They say that this authority, this operating authority for your car, which I registered my car as consumer goods, which is what the codes say that it is, that, and that's the reason why you can't be taxed or made to register it any more than they can make you register your television for use, or your bed, or your refrigerator. Your car is consumer goods, according to the Supreme Court.
And why isn't this exemption so widely known?
For the same reason a lot of good things are not widely known. Everybody's too busy tuning into Dancing with the Stars. Not very many people read. They're all listening and watching. They're all watching the Super Bowl or other things.
And when you were pulled over the first time and you showed this exemption...
Oh, I was only pulled over one time.
And what happened?
Almost 3 years. Well, the exemption is on
license
the car.
License and registration, sir?
Right. And my question is, do I need a license and registration to travel upon the highways and byways? And that's what I mean by using their laws. Their laws state that we have the absolute right to travel without any restrictions whatsoever.
But how did that conversation go with the police officer that first time?
Now, as I said a little bit ago, the police officers are not properly trained. The police officers don't have a clue. And for years, I had looked for ways to minimize, any problems with them as a result of that. We basically try to educate them a little bit if they'll listen. But in my case, my recent case, they didn't listen. So I have to use other means, which I can't talk about because they're still pending.
Okay. So right. I know in California there are probably thousands, if not millions, of mm-hmm. people that drive without driver's license.
Are they driving?
Well, that's the question.
They're using their automobiles.
They don't have licenses. They don't have insurance.
Right.
Most often they're illegal immigrants, as we
right.
would call them.
Right.
And I've seen them at court when I was getting my own ticket.
Right.
And what the court does with them, I've seen, is they'll say, okay, this is a $3,000 or $4,000 fine. We're going to cut it to $800. Do you have the money? Senor, no, I don't. Go see the payment. And it's just like
right.
over and over and
right.
over.
It's a mill.
While the American citizens, they're requiring them to pay. So that's one of the themes I've been exploring is
right.
it's almost like the government is ratcheting down so hard on the citizens of this state that we're kind of forcing some of us to live like illegal immigrants, but you're actually saying the illegal immigrants might have it right in the sense that they don't need that license,
mm-hmm.
they don't need that registration. The trouble is, from what I understand, sorry if I'm monopolizing this conversation, they take their car. Most of the time, the illegal immigrants say, forget about it, I don't care, and they just get a new car, and they just do the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the cost of the car is their penalty.
Yes.
So address
what
that. What's your thoughts on that?
What does the corporation do with the car?
They probably sell it.
They sell it for a profit, whatever they can get out of it. That is profit to them. We have to understand... I know, this is my disclaimer. I don't claim to be a sovereign citizen. The state is sovereign in their estimate. I claim to be a living child of God. God is the only sovereign that I recognize. The state can claim to be sovereign. I'm one of his kids. I get it all at the end. But getting back to the question of the illegals, right, or so-called illegals, now... There is a doctrine of law that states that once your feet are on this soil, you are a beneficiary of the same rights and immunities and liberties and such that any other person is in this country. Okay? Now, I know there are people cringing.
We'll address that. Let's focus on the driver's license.
Right.
What other commentary do you have on the driver's license? Because right now,
okay.
Are you allowed to talk about... Your lawsuit?
No, I would prefer not.
Okay.
Right. Because,
so,
like I said, it's...
Could you talk about, in general, if people pursue this path,
okay,
they might run into trouble with the police?
Oh, most assuredly. Because, as we said earlier, the drones, the worker bees, the hired guns, because I can't see them as anything else other than hired guns for the simple reason that they don't realize that they're working for a private, for-profit corporation that has no... true legal authority over them other than what they've been given through deception and fraud. Now, the state's claim is that, since we're the sovereigns, we're the king, and you all are peasants, so you're going to do what we want you to do despite what the laws say. enacted law. Okay? When I say enacted law, to our government, or at least in the government's writings, law is the Constitution, which is the declared supreme law of the land. Let me back up a second. The law is the King James Bible, and that's the only act that was passed by our Congress unanimously. That Bible is the law. So there's nothing higher than that. Then it's the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the enactments of international treaties made in pursuance of the Constitution. That is law. Only Congress can pass or enact laws. But what we have, they've given the states, legislatures, the powers to enact laws, but only if it's in conformance with the federal Constitution. But what we find is that the state legislatures are passing laws that are clearly out of step and out of sync and totally 180 degrees out of phase with federal law and the Constitution and Bill of Rights.
Could you kind of put a cap on this whole driver's license conversation?
This is, in a perfect world, if people got this information and they just stopped going to apply for it, an application means you're begging. That's what the legal terminology. Nobody's twisting anybody's arm to go get a license to travel in their automobiles or their trucks, right? And that's one of their defenses in that, hey, you know, it's there. He had the right not to fill out that or beg for that application for that license. But that's all fraud and deception, because if you don't, then they have the hired guns out there on the highways and byways, what we fondly call the highwaymen, waiting to, you know, force you at gunpoint out of your property, out of your consumer goods, seize it, or even shoot you. I know an individual who was shot for having an expired registration. He was afraid of getting a third strike, and he ran, and they shot him in the back because they didn't feel like chasing him. Yes, they will kill you.
So part of
you have to be very careful if you're going to consider any of these paths that we're talking about.
So part of seeking freedom as an American is definitely dealing with the whole driver's license issue, becoming educated on it. It's probably the forefront in people's minds.
Right.
And as you experience freedom by, you know, driving without a license, your registration, insurance, there are some significant possibilities of your property being seized and you to be fined and ticketed.
Right.
So this isn't just like a experiment with no penalties.
Oh, no.
If you experiment with this, you can be hurt.
Yes, and there's a concept of no risk, no gain, right? Every time somebody suits up for the Super Bowl, they risk getting their neck broken or getting a concussion that could knock them out, you know, of the
What are the specific risks people take by driving without a license, without insurance, without registration? What are the specific risks they take?
The immediate risk that they take is that the police officer who pulls them over for whatever reason is not going to understand any of these concepts of law. Because the police officer, you know, God bless them, I don't wish harm to any of them, right? They're doing a really tough job, but their true job was going after real criminals, not people trying to, you know, live their everyday life by, you know, traveling from point A to point B. But they have been turned, because of the corporatization of their departments, into revenue collectors. And across the country, there are many police that quit when they realize that. And to summarize it, sure, it's a chance that you have to take, but They can take your property.
By impounding your car.
Right.
And then can you get jail time for doing this too?
Yes, if you don't know what you're doing, yes, you can get jail time. If you don't know how to defend yourself in their corporate courts, which are not really courts, they're basically commercial rackets. That's been our experience, that it's all about the money. But remember, it's nothing personal, it's just business. They're literally forcing us to do business with them at gunpoint. That's how I see it.
And for people that were saying, okay, this is silliness, you're just being martyrs for no reason, what you're actually saying, no, there is a reason. It's about principle.
Right. Yes, it's about principle. They made the mistake of spending a whole lot of money on me, putting me into the Marine Corps and giving me a very, very hardcore attitude when it comes to that Constitution and the Bill of Rights. And what I swore a death, a blood oath to protect and defend. And when I see, what I see is the country turning, and that the people who took that oath, and a lot of them are police officers now, are doing a 180 on that oath to uphold and defend the Constitution and to protect the rights of the people of this country.
If you don't want to go with the whole hardcore get rid of your license, registration, and insurance, what is a soft way to kind of fight the powers that be?
Get a horse. At least now they're not demanding that people, you know, strap a plate on their horses or a bicycle. But as you said,
it would correct me if I'm wrong, it would be at least fighting your tickets when you get a ticket.
Yeah.
And the best way to fight
that's a great point. Because what we are doing personally, me and some of my friends, is we're fighting everything tooth and nail. And as a Marine, I don't know any other way, even if I get killed.
And if enough of us fought tickets,
that's right,
that would break down the revenue aspect of it, and maybe that would slow it down.
It would make it less profitable. See, we're not trying to bring the system down. And as I said earlier, America is a wonderful, wonderful place, the greatest place that's ever been in existence, in my opinion. Right, they gave us a system of law that gave us a choice. You can live free or you can live as a slave, and you have that choice.
Okay, Mo, we are back. I just wanted to put that on there for you so that we can get this thing straight. I've made my own license plate, put them on my truck, got out there on the pavement, went round and round with them, and beat them. But the only way I was able to do that is I had knowledge about how to do it. I had a plan. When we went out there, there was no argument, no debate. It was obvious to me they didn't know anything about law, so there was no need for me to crucify them. However, I had to make sure that they understood my position, and any time that they wanted to pull me over, write another ticket, then we're going to go back to the same thing again. So what they decided to do was, okay, if we keep tampering with this dude, if we mess with him, he's going to mess around, and he's going to put something down that's going to stick, and it's going to hurt all of us. So the best thing to do is just wherever you see him riding, do not stop that particular vehicle there. Now, this happened once. We beat him. It happened twice in a different vehicle. I beat him. But it is up to you to determine whether or not you're going to get jacked or whether you're going to defend yourself from the jack man. It's up to you. There are no laws inside the United States. Okay? Now, if any of you got any questions, raise your hand, I'll open up the line, and you can tell me what you got. But it's basically up to you. So I'm trying to put this information out here for you so that you can make an intelligent decision. The how-tos, the documents, all that stuff right there is in my archives. And where you access that is go to TahakaArchives.org. And once you do that, then you contact me, and we work together on this thing and coach you through it. There's a whole lot of things that you can do. A class action lawsuit starts with 12 people and above, 12 and above. So if you got 25 or 30 or 40, 50 people exercising freedom of rights to travel with knowledge of how to defend themselves on the street in your city, you'd be surprised at what you can do. Okay?
That we operate under is not law. Okay? if you are a U.S. citizen, you're operating under public policy. Now, a lot of us think that public policy is the same thing as public law. We haven't had any laws at all since 1933. So what we have is we have a policy that you're operating under by consent. So with every policy that they try to pass, or they do pass, they call it an act. Now, if you've ever been to a play at school for your children, they're in a play, and it's an act, okay? And so you can tell that they're acting because they have on costumes. And so when they passed the Department of Motor Vehicles Act, they made sure that you knew that you were participating in an act and it wasn't real, okay? That's why they dressed up all the actors. We have costumes on the Highway Patrol. We have costumes on the Sheriff Department. We have costumes on the judge when you get there. You're participating in a suit when you get to court. Suit comes from the word suit. This guy is in a suit right now, and so the attorneys wear suits. That's their costume. And you show up, and you're supposed to dress just like a citizen. And most of you tonight are dressed like citizens. That's how we dress when we're citizens. So what I'm saying all that for, if that makes sense, is that if those were all laws, there would only be 10 of them there. Do you remember the guy, the Joker, in that movie? And the guy says, how many of your friends did I hurt? And he goes, 5. And he goes, 5. So there's only 10 laws, okay? The rest of them are called statutes or codes, and they all fall under acts. Now, here's the good news. I said all that to say this. In every act, in every statute, in every code, there's a remedy. And the remedy is not there for citizens. It's only there for the real man. Okay? Now, when I say the real man, that's who you think you are. Okay? The flesh and blood. There's always remedy. There's remedy everywhere. I can't believe how many times I've heard in the last couple of weeks someone call me and say, I'm going to court for a dog barking ticket. And I'm going to do this. What do you think? Sounds good. Try it. You know what I'm saying? Now, all these acts, you're participating in them by consent. And one of the things that I'd like to talk about maybe the next time we come is the Pledge of Allegiance. The other consent that we have is when you gave up title to your car. You turned it into a vehicle and you entered it into the play. And so now you're no longer a traveler. You are a driver, or you're an operator. And travelers don't get tickets. They can't. There's no law against traveling, even at the speed of sound. There's no law. I guarantee you. There's also no law for a traveler to carry a license. There's only licenses for operators and drivers. So if you understand all that stuff so far, I'm going to show you how this all started, because it's kind of like building a house. When you come up to a really nice house that's already built, you just get to notice how big it is. You can't break in. It's got an alarm system. You've got all these things going on with this house. The water, you don't see where the water line comes in. You don't see where the sewer goes out. It's all hid. And so that's where we come in. We come in, we're born into this, I want to call this, onto this land. And pretty soon they've got us believing that we have to participate in the play. And so we see our government already structured this huge thing. And we don't see all the sewer going in and the water coming out. I said that right. We don't see the money going into the pipes, and we don't see the money going out of the pipes. Okay? We don't get to see any of that. But if you go back and see pictures of how the house is being built, you can see the backhoe out there on a piece of dirt grading off the weeds. And if you're a contractor, I like talking in those kind of terms because I build, I run equipment, I put in pipes, I've dropped in sewer lines, leach lines, I've done all that stuff. And so as you get going, you forget. You're standing there and you go, wow, oh, I'm standing on the septic tank right about here. Houses that I built, you go back later and you go, do you remember all the water lines had to go around that big rock that we found while we were trying to... So what I'm saying is, we're going to go back in time with history on some of this documentation from the District of Columbia and to see how it's all transpired, okay? Now, can you zip it up a little bit higher? Okay, the initial review of the District of Columbia, now this is called an Organic Act. Now, I don't know, organic is the same thing as charter, and they hide words behind other words that have the same meaning so that you'll think organic means fresh. Okay?
Natural.
1871. It seems like it only sets up a local government like a Chicago or a Seattle. How do you get that they formed a private corporation? Okay, raise it up a little bit. If you take the act out of this historical context, from the present looking at the past, imagine who the parties involved are. We might agree, however, we cannot do that. To best understand what really happened, we have to follow a couple of principles. And the first one is you have to know who you are before you can understand anything else around you. Okay? If you think that you're a wolf cub out in the forest, okay, and you're freezing to death, and you find out later that you're a man and you can make fire, everything around you changes. So we've got to understand who you are first to understand this stuff. Okay. God created you to be the king on your land. The word is called sovereign. That means so over reigns. You're driving the horse. You got a hold of the reins. That's what so over reigns, sovereign means, okay? So, we'll raise it up a little bit more. always know that yourself first. Discover the true nature of all the other parties second. Okay, all that you can pass up because it gets a little too deep right there. So right there where it says thus. To understand the parties involved in the District of Columbia Organic Act of 1871, think about that. That was only 140 years ago. Okay, two generations. That's it. So we're not that far back. Although they didn't have planes and cars and all that stuff there, most of the people in that time era were biblical. Okay, they had a Bible and they had a law book. Okay, they knew the law, and those are the two books that they had on their hearth or their fireplace. And instead of going home and watching TV, or going down to the gym, or whatever they did, whatever we do now, bridge club, NASCAR races, I mean, you got to understand that the de facto has put everything in front of us to keep us distracted. I mean, every sport you can think of is on TV. When I was a kid, we had, I think, 13 channels, maybe 12, because Channel 1 wasn't a channel. But we only had 12 channels, and if there wasn't something on TV that we liked, that thing was off most of the time. We were out playing. I mean, I didn't have video games. And our children don't have the same thing that's going on. And if you look at the underlying of what all's going on with that, they're using all of that to keep us beat down, to keep us tired, to keep us working. And so that we don't go on the internet and read the District of Columbia Act from 1871. So anyway, I'm going to go down about the third sentence. We're not going to get into this act entirely, suffice to say, looking over the situations we find, that the act is one made by the original jurisdiction Congress. So this was made by the original Congress, okay, the good Congress. Right out of the Civil War, it started being a little more, the Congress was a little corrupt because the South walked out, and so they appointed people at gunpoint to come in and pass this stuff. But nevertheless, they were still operating as a de jure type of government. Okay?
Question.
Okay.
Actually, comment. There's also inside that document, you're not going to read it, but there's a limitation as to the amount of land that the federal government set aside for purposes such as the Sisters.
We're going to get into that. Yeah. Really good.
Sorry.
That's okay. Now, there's a guy that studied history. Let's give him an applause. I'm serious. Okay, the District of Columbia was originally provided for in the Constitution for the United States. That's the original one from 1787 at Article 1, Section 8, specifically in the last two clauses, on July 16th in 1790. So, a good thing that was put aside by our congressmen or by our forefathers was corrupted by some people that had other agenda in them, okay, in their pocket. The territory included the actual government. Under the Act, Congress also made the president the civic leader of the local government in all matters in that territory. So the president was a civil leader, a civic leader. You see how that? He wasn't even the president. Now, if I were to change the name of the District of Columbia to the District of Mexico, and we allowed Mexico to build a 10-square-mile capital area in the middle of Oklahoma, okay, and we said you guys could stay there and you could pass all the laws that you want, I've got to say Oklahoma because that would be right in the middle of the heart of our country, okay? Now, right in the middle of the heart of our country back then was Washington, D.C. So, but if we let Mexico set up a little spot there and we told them they could hire a little president and they could do their own little thing, but they only had jurisdiction over that 10 square miles, what would we care? Would you care? Would anybody care? I mean, if they had to stay to their self, okay? Any laws that they passed was only for the citizens of that area and their employees. Okay, go ahead.
Isn't that what an embassy is? Isn't that like that a foreign corporate, a foreign jurisdiction in our country? Isn't that what
it is? Real close. That's okay. Kind of how this got started.
Okay.
Let's raise it up just a little higher. On February 27, 1801, under the Second District of Columbia Act, two countries were formed and the respective officers and district judges were appointed. Further, the established town, raise it up some more, governments of Alexandria, Georgetown, and Washington were recognized as constituted and placed under the laws of the district, its judges, etc. So the United States Supreme Court has repeatedly called this act the District of Columbia Organization Act. So they're an organization. Okay? Or the Charter Act of the District of Columbia. Now, if you look up the word charter...
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to yell this out. Charter is a document issued by a sovereign or state outlining the conditions under which a business, city, or other corporate body is organized and defining its rights and privileges.
Okay, so the District of Columbia got its privileges from the sovereign. Okay? That's you and me. We are the descendants of the sovereign. So we are sovereigns. Okay? According to the United States Supreme Court, the Charter Acts, first acts, were the official incorporation of the formal government of the District of Columbia. Now, I want you to notice that the official incorporation of a formal government, not the United States of America. It doesn't say America. It says the government of the District of Columbia, as chartered by Congress in accord with the Constitution's privileges or provisions. So what they did is they took something good and they subbed it out. We don't want to mess with this. We're going to let them do it. Okay? Are you guys following this so far?
Yeah.
Okay. Again, the Supreme Court called it the body of government, a corporation with the right to sue and be sued. Now that's good news for you and me. They have the right to be sued.
Okay, Moses, we're back. At this point, I want to ask if any of you got any questions. Go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll open up the line so you can say what you got to say, and we can deal with that. As you see, based on the information you got, there's a lot of things that we have for every statute and ordinance and stuff that they pass and what they're calling laws, which are not laws. You know, we haven't had laws inside the United States since 1933. We're living in a lawless society, and we have plenty of evidence to support that, because we got officers all across the United States shooting people down in the streets and doing anything they want to do, and they go inside the courtroom. The courtroom said, well, he was justified. Hey, okay, well, court dismissed. You get a ticket out there, you go into the courtroom, and they say, well, did the officer, did you do what the policeman said, and, you know, and all this right here. But number one, there are no real courts except one inside the United States. That's the International Court of Trade. The rest of my administrative offices and buildings and administrative employees. There are no officers unless they've been elected officials. Okay? Area code 909. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from, what's your question or comment?
Hey, brother. My name is Tahuti Taylor Bay. I'm calling from
Virginia.
Hey,
man. All right.
My question is to what the European was saying. He said that they were sovereign. Can they actually be sovereign in these lands if these lands belong to the Moors?
Well, that when I hear stuff like that, that go in one ear and out the other, and it should be going in your ear and out the other too. Do I have
right.
to answer that one? You
want
me to answer that, or are you going to let me go with that one?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, the thing is, we know that the history of the Moors were covered up. If it wasn't for Stanley Lane Poole, we wouldn't have never knew we ruled Spain for 780 years. If it wasn't for the brothers and, along with Horace Butler, we would never knew that we would have an empire over here. In the Americas, and a lot of other things have been covered up. They fought against us for 100 years, and you had the Moorish Empire, but the entire empire was swept under the rug. And then we had the descendants of Chinese and Omacs and other species declared as natives of the land, called Indians, and overlooking the fact that everybody else on the planet has a nationality associated with a landmass. So if you got Indians inside America, well, how they got called Indians? And then you got people over in the country called India who are called Indians. So it goes back to the same type of cover-up. So when you hear Europeans saying stuff like that, they actually believe these things, because they're going by what they have as far as information is concerned. That's why it's so vital for you to have self-knowledge about yourself. I keep preaching that gospel over and over and over and over. So a lot of things I hear him say, it goes go in one ear and out the other, because I know that's not true. And a lot of people have been listening to this broadcast. I'm pretty sure by now you all are able to make the separation from fact from fiction. Is that okay?
It's law. And just one more question. Just one more, please.
Mm-hmm.
Was the fiction cover-up for the cover-up of the Moors? Is that the way for them to basically justify their power, was to create the corporate fiction world that they created to cover up the Moorish Empire?
Well, it was like you take two men sitting side by side. One we're going to call black. The other we're going to call white. What we got to do is take the crown of ownership of the earth and rulership of the earth, everything on it and everything in it that has previously been going on for hundreds of thousands of years, take that crown off that black man head and put it on that white man head, and cover up everything about what the black man did, and come out with what's called a new world order, as if there was no previous history, our story, prior to him becoming king. This is what's going on. This is how far back it went. It's just not with you as a Moor. This is for the prize of the entire planet. He wants to rule the entire planet. And so he's he's invests hundreds and hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars to maintain the strength of the cover up. He's not telling you about the cities found in the ocean off the coast of Cuba with your artifacts in it. He's got your Grand Canyon coned off. He got the pyramid right here where I am, off the coast of Florida, 400 foot high in the Atlantic Ocean, 40 miles off the coast. We don't put that in the media. Every time somebody come up and say, well, we dug up some bones up here. Hey, come, well, what you got? Wait a minute. Don't bring no media. Hold on. Let us check it out. Let us find out what it is, and we'll take control of this here. We got buildings and places to put these artifacts in because we can't. We done already lied, so we got to make sure that we keep patching and bandaging all of them live. Otherwise, the truth get out, then we're faced with telling the truth. We got the Indians quiet now. They're not supposed to say nothing to nobody. If any black ones come around trying to do something, well, we can't let them in. We let you in. We'll pay you, give you casinos and all this stuff, but we need you to be quiet about the real truth.
If I...
You see. Okay. So that's the way that goes. There's no place on the planet that we wasn't first. Answer your question, brother?
Islam, I'm satisfied, brother.
Okay, my brother, thank you for calling in. If anybody else got another question, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, here we go. Let's see here. Air code 215.
Hey, what's good? Black power.
Black power? Okay. Black power, brother. What's up?
Black power. Yeah, I've been listening to your show, you know what I mean? We built this civilization for everybody, you know what I mean? And which makes a valid point because it's truth and fact and sufficient fact, you know what I mean? But I'm looking at it like this. I think we all need to drop this religion thing and unite back as being spiritual human beings. Because as long as these religions, it's always going to be by a oppressor, slave master, you know what I mean? And it's always, oh, I ain't going to like that nigga right there because he a Muslim. Or I don't like him because he a Christian. I don't like him because he Buddha. And that, you know what I mean, that separates all of us.
Okay, well, I have to agree with you. Religion is a form of mind control, and most people that believe in a religion like you, we ain't gonna pick on none of that. What you call them? Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
All right, they say they are Jehovah's Witnesses. Okay, so my question would be, could you please tell me everything you know about the ancient story, of the Jehovah's Witness religion? Could you please tell me about it? If you are a Christian, can you tell me everything you know about the ancient story, the origin and ancient story of Christianity? Because you say you believe in these things, and common sense tells me that if you believe in something, at least you should know something about it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't tell me, well, I am a Christian to the bone, and I believe in Jesus, and I don't know that much about the history of it, but I know one thing: Jesus said so. You know what I'm saying? Okay.
Yeah, I understand you saying.
All right, so if you believe in something, you should know what it is, everything about what you believe in. If you sell insurance, if you sell insurance to people, you know all about insurance.
Yes, got experience in that field, yeah.
So when it comes to religion, why is there this black eye about you ain't supposed to know nothing?
Right. It is kind of strange because, like I said, me personally, you know what I mean, I'm just a spiritual being, you know what I mean, I had no religion. Like, I agreed that, you know what I mean, I did a lot of studying on the Kemet religion, the Amun Ra, you know what I mean, and all that, and which is the first religion, you know what I mean, dated with supporting facts, you know what I mean, more than any other religion in the world. And, you know what I mean, I'm basically saying, man, like, religion separate all of us, you know what I mean? You got a lot of people thinking Christianity, there's no proof that Jesus never existed, nor anybody that's in the Bible existed. There's no supporting facts of, you know what I mean, Islam, that the Prophet Muhammad existed, you know what I mean? And all that does, you know, Christianity and Islam, you know what I mean, them are the main people that rape, beaten, slaved our people, raped our people, you know what I mean? And people still fall down to the feet of Arab supremacy and white supremacy. It's sick, you know. That's why we can't
be. I think we come out better if we just put that down for a minute and start concentrating on economics.
Yeah. Hey, you know what?
Then we got some stuff, because we don't have to do a whole a lot of economic trends. All we had to do is start thinking about how we're going to transform our neighborhoods into communities and become self-sustaining and survive. With, you know, get into to that mode and actually start physically doing something instead of going to the same building every Sunday, giving away your money and coming back home and waiting on something to happen.
Right. Right.
You know, we can start doing that, then we'd be all right. You got another question?
Economic, like you said, that plays a big thing in our society too, because I mean, a lot of us, we ain't really got too much of nothing. But if you look at, okay, like I said before, if you got somebody that practice Islam, you got a Christian person. They not trying to build. You're like, I ain't want to have nothing to do with him because I mean, they Islam, they Christian. I don't want nothing to do with them. You know what I mean? And that's that stop economic. That stop love. That stop unity. That stop. You know what I mean? Man, there's a lot of stuff. You know what I mean? So it separates us. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I ain't gonna fuck with him because, excuse my language. I ain't gonna mess with him because he's from Master. He's from Master from Raw Muhammad. You know what I mean? Plantation. And I don't mess with nobody from Master Baral Muhammad Plantation. I'm from Jesus Plantation. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. And I be hating that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
well,
you know I mean? Like,
okay, brother.
Yeah.
What the best thing to do is don't get all caught up in that. You know, I don't waste no time with it. You know, you come and tell me something about, well, I don't want nothing to do with that old Islam religion. I believe in Jesus.
Yeah.
Da, da, da. Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to leave you alone with that. I don't have time for that. I'm just interested in some type of stability among our people.
Yeah.
I don't, in the first place, I don't get in a position to be put in that kind of position to be told anything about it, because I'm not going to sit there long enough to hear nothing about it, because I know better than that. I ain't got time for it. I'm out of there and I'm gone.
So, I appreciate you calling in, brother. Yeah, so like you were saying, I like the show, you know what I mean? Basically what you're saying, you just don't want to get into the religion thing. You just want to economic, right? So.
It's a whole lot of other stuff. I already know what religion is. That's mind control. I ain't got time for that. If you want to talk to me about something different, if you want to talk about law, if you want to talk about economics, if you want to talk about anything that we can actually take and use and benefit from as an individual or a family, as a group or a nation or a government, then you have my ear. But when you start telling me about a bunch of foolishness, about some stuff you believe in and you don't know nothing about it, I ain't got time. Right. You can tell me something. Well, I've seen a man walking down the street with two heads. I don't know nothing about that. Tell it to the next man. I'm gone.
But what I'm saying though, like, it plays a big role though, because that separates us. You know what I mean? It separates
all
of us. So
we all understand
we can't build,
that.
You know?
I understand that. But what I'm trying to get you to do is forget about it, man. Go do something else. Don't even worry about that.
Well, I'm trying to build though, man. I'm saying that
ahead
you said.
Don't worry about it. Forget about it. Don't worry about it. You know, don't even listen to it. Keep on going, doing something else. You see what I'm saying? Don't put no time in that, man.
Right. Well, I appreciate your show, man. Like I said, I listen to you when you come on. You're doing your thing over there. You know what I mean? I'm checking out from the United Urban Nation. Black Power, my brother.
All right, brother. Black Power. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if there's anybody else got another question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand and we'll get into that. I don't deal with no religion. If you want to discuss religion and have an intelligent discussion, I can do that. But when you start telling me about what ain't this and what ain't that and what you don't believe and God said this and that, my question to you is, what is it exactly do you know for a fact about such a thing? If you don't know nothing, don't waste my time. I'm out of there. I'm not going to invest any time in listening to you convince me about nothing that you know absolutely nothing about. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't invest any time in that. Okay. We're talking about Morris and the court and law and stuff. And I want to give a little breakdown. But if any of you have any problems, if you have with your driver's license and the courts or what have you, you can go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll open up the line so that we can discuss that, because that is what the broadcast is about tonight. Okay? So keep in mind that if any of you are going to be in Louisiana by the end of the month, you can contact Mike Robertson L at 225-445-6018. We're going to be there in Louisiana. We're going to be teaching law there. And then we're going to be up in Virginia again, and we're going to be dealing with it up there. But right now, I want to deal with this get out of jail card. Let's deal with that, see what that's all about.
Hello there, friends. This is Bert. I am here getting ready to pass on to you guys another piece of very important information that I believe will help most people to actually be able to get out of jail free without having to put up a bond or enter into any fraudulent contracts, which is all what the courts and the legal system attempt to do for you. This is all based on actual law, court rules, and personal experience by going through the process of being jailed and then being pushed in front of the magistrate and coerced into giving up a bond and basically becoming a subject to their system. Now, because of the fact that I actually spent like 32 hours in their custody and in their nasty jail and basically being tortured, I have a very personal issue with these jails and the entire system. So I'm giving you this information, and if you learn it and you use it, you will be able to get out of jail free, and you can pretty much consider this thing a get out of jail free card. But you do need to do a little studying. You need to become familiar with the court rules in your particular state, the jurisdiction that you're living under, and you know, just become familiar with some of the very basic information that I have on my channel and what I'm going to present to you guys here in this video. So pay attention and review this several times until it sinks in, and double check all the information in here, because you can double check it with the court rules in your state. You know, you need to find it, look for the statutes, and under the statutes of your state you will be able to find the court rules for your particular state. But they're pretty much the same thing, because all the 50 states are under the same corporation, which is the United States Corporation. So they all pretty much follow the same scam and the same words and all that kind of thing. But I'm going to try to make it you know, as simple as I can, so that you can use this and get other people to use it as well. Now here, just for a little background for you, this is the judges that are part of the city and county of Denver. And if you look at this picture, the two fellows on the top row, the guys that are standing to the right, the one on the very far right, that is Judge Johnny Barajas, who is the judge that's currently overseeing the case that was filed against me by the Denver police, and they're the ones that I'm fighting right now. And then the fellow next to him, that's Judge Harrell, and he actually is the guy who tried to extract $1,000 for me, I mean from me, and I was at least able to talk it down to $500 simply by telling him that my wife did not have that kind of money and that all we had was $500, and he agreed to accept that amount of extortion. But I wish I had known the information that I'm putting here in front of you a few months ago, because I would have been able to get out of there without having to give them a dime. And that's the whole point here, is if everybody starts practicing this thing, we'll actually be able to bankrupt these corporations and, you know, bring freedom back to the people. But we have to be able to stand and have the courage to do so. Yeah, another point I want to make here about these judges is that we just recently had a couple of wins and learned something very important. Number one, you do not want to request any kind of a hearing. Okay, I made that mistake, and they granted me the hearing, but they purposely sent out the notice the day before the hearing, knowing very well that I was not going to get it on time. That caused a bench warrant, which I then basically issued assist and desist order to end and void the warrant. And the judge entered an order then to vacate his own order, because I had entered an order for him to vacate it. So right there I prove that we can in fact enter orders to vacate a judge's order. And then we also prove that you can have someone speak for you in the court or speak on your behalf at the court. That was really huge. And we'll touch on that later on. But those are two very important things that that we were able to prove, and we're in the process of proving even more things that you can do to protect yourself from these people. All right, so here hopefully we'll be able to slow down the police state if we get a little courage and practice some of these things that we are learning. At least some of us are doing it, and more of us will do it. So all this information we're putting together here is actually coming from the Colorado statutes, specifically the Colorado court rules, which are put together by the Colorado Supreme Court. And the same deal is probably what's happening in your particular state. So you do want to become familiar with the court rules in your particular state, because that seems to be the most important information that you want to learn, even more important than the actual laws. So this is what I really want you to learn. If you happen to be arrested and you are, you know, brought before the magistrate or judge, this is the things that you need to say. You always speak for the record. For the record, I, Freeman. And you can use Freeman whether you're a woman or a man. Okay, it's just a generic term. I, Freeman, John William Doe, object to being kidnapped. Objection is super important. For the record, I, Freeman John William Doe, wish for continuance on this matter in order to obtain counsel. This here eliminates the plea, because you never want to plead guilty, not guilty, or anything else. You want to avoid it altogether, so you want to get this continuance. That is super, super important. All right, so then number three, for the record, I, Freeman John William Doe, will not engage in any contracts without counsel unless coerced. So this here eliminates the validity of anything that you sign, because in fact, anything that you sign while you're in that jail, prison, kidnap quarters, whatever you want to call it, is actually done under duress, because if you have to sign your life away in order to get out of there, there's no way that can be held against you. It's not lawful, it's not legal. But you do want to enter it into the record so that later on when you request a transcript of what you discussed with that judge or magistrate, you can use that as evidence against them. So then the fourth and the last one here, for the record, I, Freeman John William Doe, wish to be freed from your prison on my honor. Okay, this is like being freed on your recognizance. You've heard of that. But you don't want to use the word recognizance, because that's their word. Okay, you want to use the word honor, because you're going to be let out of there on your honor, because as a free man, you have honor. Citizens and persons, they don't have honor because they are property. Property has no honor. But you have honor as a man or as a woman. So you want to make sure you say that. Now, your name, you could also call yourself John William of the Family Doe. That will separate it a bit better. That's how I call myself. So I would say, I, Freeman John William of the Family Doe. So this four points here, you really have got to memorize, because when you go in front of the magistrate, you know, you won't be naked, but you might as well be, because you'll be in some nasty prison clothes, and that's all you will have to show. So now we're going to review a few definitions here very quickly. All right, so in their definition, law includes municipal charters and ordinances, statutes, and judicial decisions. Now, as opposed to like the U.S. Code, when they're talking about includes, basically excludes other things, in the court rules, includes does not exclude. So when they're talking about something specifically like this, and they say includes, they're actually telling you that there are other things included, because within this court rules, I mean, you won't believe it, but they actually talk about the unwritten common law, and there are all kinds of different laws that you can bring into court with you. And we'll touch on that on another video. But for now, let's stick to this. So peace officer means a duly appointed law enforcer officer of the state of Colorado or whatever it is, or any political subdivision thereof, authorized by the Constitution, statutes, charter, or ordinances to enforce municipal charter and ordinance violations. The important part to remember here is to enforce. So all peace officers have only one purpose, and that is to enforce municipal charter violations, etc., whatever it is. And then you have summons, which means a notice to appear before the court. And notice is just that. They're giving you a notice. They're letting you know that something is up and you should respond to it, but it's just a notice, nothing else. Okay, so now here we have warrant. Okay, what's a warrant? Okay, in lieu of a summons, a warrant may be issued at the discretion of the court following the filing of a sworn complaint. What they're telling you here is that a warrant is just another summons. But people, when they get a warrant, they get all scared. Oh, I'm going to go to jail. There's a warrant out for my arrest. A warrant is just another notice. When you get a warrant in the mail, or whichever way you get it, you can actually object to that warrant. But you need to object to it right away, and then it becomes void. Okay, and I'll show you guys later on different ways to be able to do this. And the way I simply did it is by sending them a cease and desist order. Okay, I issued the order to cancel their warrant, because a warrant is just another notice. They just call it a warrant, and they don't use it too often because they don't want to dilute its fear. But that's all it is. It's just another notice. Just another trick that they use to scare us into compliance.
Okay, let's take a look at that for a minute. So far, we understand that the United States is a corporation. Everything that's happening in the United States is happening in the confines of a corporation. We also know that we haven't had a law since 1933. So that means that we have a lawless and criminal society enforcing and imposing their will on you and calling it law. But what happens when you master law and you learn all the ins and outs of how to deal with this thing? To me, I look at things from a whole different set of circumstances. If I was in jail right now, this is the way I look at that. And I learned this a long time ago. Before I didn't know, I had been to jail more than one time. Shot me in, went down there. When they let me out, went down there and got my guns back, too. But when you in jail, the men that's in there turning the keys on the cells and stuff that you in, they're, in my opinion, they're in worse shape than you. Because you might have 90 days, or a year, or 2 years, or 3 years. But when you get out and you walk away, all you got to do is turn around and look at them. Because they got life. You go away, you do something else, you come back, they give you 30 days. You go back in there, you seen the same joker you was in there, that was there 4 years ago. He working in that environment until he retired. 60 years until he get almost to retire. They said, well, look, we ain't got no pension money for you, so we're going to have to fire you. But he got life. That's the way I look at that. And I look at the fact that when I go in there, I get a chance to see people I ain't seen in a long time. But we can talk about a lot of good things. I'm not telling anybody to go there. But I'm trying to get rid of the fear. Get rid of the fear and stuff that a lot of us have about a lot of different things.
All right, so in this next one, any person arrested under a warrant issued upon a complaint, unless admitted to bail, shall be taken without a necessary delay before a judge of the court which issued the warrant, and shall be given a copy of the complaint and warrant. The defendant shall at such time be arraigned in accordance with the provisions of Rule 10, and we'll touch on this Rule 10 in a little bit, unless arraignment is continued as provided therein. So you can see here that the arraignment can be continued. And in this Rule 210, you're going to see that you have that right to continue the arraignment. So when they're trying to arraign you, which is basically to get that plea out of you, you use those points that that I gave you earlier to get a continuance so that you do not have to give a plea. Because once you give a plea, you're agreeing to follow their terms, punishments, etc. Now in this next one, I just want you to see that here in another section, they're talking again, unless arraignment is continued as provided therein. And they keep referring to this rule 210. I'm sure it's the same thing in your state. So got to put this into your head that you have the right to get a continuance on your arraignment. So you do not have to plea if you are brought in front of the judge or magistrate. You can basically demand for a continuance because you want to seek counsel. So you need to get all these things solid in your head so that you'll be able to stand up to these people. All right, so here we see that arraignment shall be held upon defendant's first appearance in court. So they can't really do anything unless they get this arraignment out of the way. Okay, so unless defendant is granted a continuance, there's that continuance again, to seek assistance of counsel to determine which plea to enter. So see, if you play dumb, you say, I don't know which plea to enter, I need to seek assistance of counsel. They have to give you a continuance, or for other good and sufficient reason. But the best reason you can give them is that you need to seek counsel. The court shall advise each defendant of the right to have the arraignment continued upon request for good cause shown, which would be to seek counsel. And if no such request is made, the court may proceed with the arraignment. So you see, if you don't open your mouth, they will proceed with the arraignment. And that's exactly what happened to me. I didn't know any better. No one ever told me anything. The attorney that I had never told me anything. Because if they told everybody about this, there would be no need for attorneys. So I hope this is becoming more and more clear to you. Okay, now here you can see that their arraignment must be conducted in open court. So arraignment shall be conducted in open court, and the defendant may appear in person or by counsel. So you can have actually your counsel show up and enter the plea for you, but you don't want to do that. Because if they don't get the arraignment from you when they had the chance and you were there in front of them, you would definitely would be pretty dumb to send a counsel or anyone on your behalf to speak for you to enter a plea. And that's the whole purpose of this. Without a plea, they have nothing on you. So you want to keep it that way. Okay, so here you see what the pleas actually are. A defendant, and you know this is what they always try to do. They always try to call you a defendant. They won't call you anything else. A defendant is a person, a defendant in person or by counsel may plead guilty, not guilty, or with the consent of the court, nolo contendere, which is the same thing as no contest, which is basically saying that you're guilty. So you don't want to do any of those things. Okay, so here's this next rule. If the defendant appears in court without counsel, the court shall advise the defendant of the right to retain counsel. Now, in some states, they define counsel as being an attorney or a lawyer. Okay, so if that's the case, you have the right to retain counsel, but you also have the right not to take a right. Okay, so you may have a right to retain an attorney, but the other flip side of that coin is you also have the right to not have an attorney. Okay, and that's why you also do not want to represent yourself as pro se, because when you act pro se, you're saying that you're going to be your own attorney. So basically you're telling them, yeah, give me the baseball bat, I'll beat myself with it, you don't have to give me a public defender, and I don't have to hire an attorney to beat me over the head. I can do it quite efficiently myself. So that's just an insult to go pro se. Okay, so once again, this is what you're going to say. For the record, I, Freeman John William of the family Doe, object to being kidnapped. For the record, I, Freeman John William Doe, or William of the family Doe, wish for continuance on this matter in order to obtain counsel. This eliminates the plea, so remember that. For the record, I, Freeman John William Doe, will not engage in any contracts without counsel unless coerced. For the record, I, Freeman John William of the family Doe, wish to be freed from your prison on my honor. So try to remember these things. All right, now, once you're freed from their prison, never, ever go back to the court and present yourself, okay? Don't go back to this appointment. It's always going to be a trap. If you must go to court, always send a messenger. Send someone to speak on your behalf. This someone is not going to be an attorney, so they're not going to be bound by their rules and regulations. And because they are, in fact, a messenger, they're like an angel from God going to speak for you. They cannot be harassed. Well, they could be harassed, but they're not going to be touched. They cannot be thrown in jail. They cannot be done. All those things, because they're actually like an ambassador. And if they are harassed in any kind of way, now you can hold that judge in contempt of court for violating and mistreating your messenger. And I'm actually in the process of doing that and going to prove to everybody that you have the power to protect your messenger, and they must protect your messenger. And if they don't, then you can hold them in contempt of court for doing that. Now, your messenger team should consist of 5 people, and I'll go into details about this in another message, in another video, but basically you want 3 people to go up to talk to the judge. You want 2 other people in the gallery, okay? And you want everybody to have some kind of a recording device on them, because you got to have backup to backup to backup to backup. Now, if you are ready to start standing up to this federal mafia, you can contact my team. Denotconsent83@yahoo.com. Your brother in freedom, Bert. Peace be with you.
Okay. Area code 706. 706. 706. Okay. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, if you got any questions about what you heard, raise your hand and let us know what you think about that stuff. We are putting up as many little tricks as you can, but the key is, and the bottom line is, you have to learn law. And I'm not talking about what you see all them books, them law books and stuff, all that statutes and ordinances. That ain't what I'm talking about. Ain't no law in there nowhere. That's just their way to maintain the enslavement of the people who don't know no better. So when you study and learn something, then you can do something. We have a lot of people who think that, well, I got to get my documents, and I got to do this document, I got to do that document in the next. But whatever documents you got or that you plan to use is going to have to be enforced with what you know. So it come out, common sense tell me that the first thing you want to do is learn something. Okay. Now we got area code 706 one more time. 706.
Islam.
Islamo, what's
Islam
on your mind?
Yes, sir. Can't
hardly hear you.
Can't
hardly hear you. Can you speak up?
Yes, sir. I listen to your show weekly. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear a little better.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sir? Okay. I listen to your show weekly. I enjoy your show, but I would like to know the names of the individuals that you be playing on your show, like the ones tonight, I'd like to have their names.
Okay. All right. Well, ooh, man, we got quite a few.
I'm talking about the first two. Each one of you go, I would just like to know their names so I can write their name down. So I got my pen and the paper, and I'm ready, and I'm taking notes.
Okay. Well, write down William Bill Faust.
Bill Faust, F-O-S-T?
Yeah, F-A-U-S-T.
Okay, Faust, okay.
And let me see who else we got. Okay, William Bill Faust, and you're going to have to call me on this other guy because I didn't get his name recorded on the ticket. Just call me at 904-303-9061, and I can give them all
Islam.
To you.
Islam.
Islam. Anybody else got a question or comment? Now's the time to raise your hand so we get this information out there because I want to make sure you got it. And for those of you who are new, just tuning in, we're dealing with Moorish inside the United States of America. We're dealing with law. We're dealing with contracts. We're dealing with court. We want to give you some pointers on some things that you can do to aid you in your immediate circumstances. But the bottom line is you need to study and get this stuff under your belt. So when you get out there on that pavement, if somebody send you something in the mail, you know how to handle it. I mean, instead of keep adapting, spending all your hard-earned money and going through all this stuff, you need to be able to defend yourself. And when you defend yourself, you'll be surprised at how much stuff you got going for yourself. You need to learn this stuff. You go right there to TahakaArchives.org. We got tons of information in there and personal guidance, support, and coaching once you get in there. So you can't go wrong. You hear what I'm saying?
Hello. Welcome to Do Not Consent 83.
Yes, hello. Welcome, y'all. Those were my kids that were doing the intro there for you. They're the main reason that I'm doing all this, because I do not want them growing up as anybody's slaves, subjects, or citizens. I want them to grow up free. And that's the purpose of everything that I'm trying to get done here. All right, now, so the whole purpose of this is to avoid going to court, okay? Once you are freed from their prison, the last thing you want to do is present yourself in court, you know, in your own skin, and then give them all the benefits of either tagging you as a defendant or putting a bond on you or putting you back in prison. So the way you avoid that is by putting a team together to go to court for you and speak on your behalf. Okay, the team will consist of 5 people. 3 people will be actually walking up to the podium. 2 other people will remain on the in the gallery, okay, with recording equipment, to keep track of anything that's going on in case something gets missed by taking notes, etc. So you're going to have one man or woman actually be the authorized spokesman, and then one of the other two is going to be taking down notes. That's going to be all they're going to be doing. The third person up there, it's going to be there to make sure that the spokesman stays on track and doesn't overlook any important point. Okay? So, the thing to remember is that when you go there as a spokesman for anyone, you're basically acting kind of like a mailman. Okay? The mailman, as you know, is under pretty good immunity. Okay, you cannot mess with the mailman because he's just simply delivering a message. And when you're there in court, you're simply delivering a message. No one has the right to harass you, to intimidate you, or do anything like that. Okay, even though they will most likely do that. But they do not have the right to do any of those things. And when you go up there, your whole purpose is just simply to enter a particular message into the record You're not there to cause any other trouble or to prove any other point. Okay? Now, the other thing to remember is that before you ever arrive to the court, whatever relevant papers need to be entered into the record, those papers have already been entered into the record by whoever it is that you're going to speak on behalf of. Okay? So, these papers will be there, and all you are doing is going in front of the magistrate to make sure that the magistrate has had these papers put in front of him or her. Okay? You're not there to make sure whether the magistrate actually read the paperwork. That's not your purpose. Your purpose is just to make sure that the magistrate, in fact, had access to them. And if the magistrate did not have access to them, then, of course, you're going to have extra copies with you there to make sure that he or she gets a copy in their hands. So if you're there and the magistrates are saying, oh, I don't have copies of those papers, and you're like, oh, well, your magistrate or your honor, I happen to have extra copies right here for you. And you give them to the bailiff, the bailiff gives it to the magistrate, and then you can say, for the record, the magistrate has been presented with paper blah 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 and paper blah blah blah, whichever papers it is that you are in fact entering into the record and giving to him. Okay, now we're going to go over a few lines that you would want to take with you to kind of help you stay on track. So when you first go up there and get ready to speak, you would say, for the record, I, Freeman John William of the family Johnson, am here to speak on behalf of Freeman Kennedy and these two people, Freeman A and Freeman B, next to me, are here as witnesses. Now, this is very important to say that, because when you're up there with two witnesses, that magistrate will know that you now have witnesses that you can use to impeach that magistrate if he lies or if he abuses his bench or does anything that he's not supposed to do. Okay? So that's the other super important part of having two witnesses when you go up there. And that's why we need to set up these teams all across the country so that we can start taking our country back and taking the freedom back for the people. And I believe this is the best way to do it. You never want to argue with a cop when he pulls you over or does anything to you, because, you know, if they beat you up, you're going to be hurt, and that's not worth it. So don't argue with a cop. You know, you can give him papers or whatever, but don't argue with him. Your power is in this court when you start exercising your true power of the people. You know, most cops have no clue about any of this stuff. So it makes no sense to try to educate them while they're holding a gun in front of your face or a club over your head. Okay, so next you would say something like, for the record, I am here to make sure Your Honor received the papers entered into the record by Freeman Kennedy. Okay? Then you would go, for the record, Freeman Kennedy objects. And you would say this if anything begins to happen that is against the interest of Freeman Kennedy. All right? So you have to be very good at saying this line. Okay, then, for the record, Your Honor, is that an order? You would use this line if the magistrate starts to intimidate you and tell you things like, oh, you can't speak in my court. You're not a lawyer. You're not an attorney. You need to leave my court, or anything along those lines. And, you know, just for the record, you want to enter if that is, in fact, an order, because you want it on the record that he is ordering you basically to violate the right of where it is you're speaking in favor of, you know. And then you could say, for the record, Freeman Kennedy objects, but we will do as you order. So if he's telling you to do something, you know, you don't want to argue or fight with him, you still have to respect him, so you would say that, we will do as you order, but you enter into the record, you know, that he's in fact giving you an order. Okay, then you would say, before you leave, For the record, Your Honor, are you denying Freeman Kennedy the right to have me speak on his behalf? This is very important because if he says yes, he's basically putting a rope around his neck, all right? And that's a big no-no. So you want to make sure you get that line in there. Okay, then finally would be, for the record, I have concluded the entry into the record, and the matter today is concluded. All right, so once you finish entering whatever you need to enter into the record, you say that, and technically you could turn around and leave, but you would want to pause a little bit and see anything else that the magistrate may want to add and give him a chance to basically close the record at that point. And if anyone else, the city attorney or anyone else, starts to say anything that doesn't sound good to you, then you object. All right, so I hope this makes sense. Anyone who still needs help with doing any kind of this paperwork, feel free to contact me. I am helping people all across in different states because we need to get moving on this thing if we want to, you know, keep our money, keep our freedom. So I hope this makes sense. Send me any questions, and I'll be more than happy to reply. Take care, and talk to you guys again later.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back. What I would recommend that you do is listen to this broadcast over and over until you get it down. Those of you who are recording this information and trying to make a record of it, and that way you're able to get it all down, and you'll know what to do with it. You can study the information until you get ready to
week or a couple weeks ago, I did one on the District of Columbia Organization Act. It set the stage in 1933 or real close to that, right after the gold standard. Okay, so the District of Columbia Organization Act, just real quick, Congress gave them 10 square miles, the District of Columbia, to set up a government. It didn't say a government for anyone. It just said a government. And if you look up that stuff and you understand it, you open your eyes and see it, it was set up as a government to realistically collect a debt. The bankers are in place at that time, IRS, and we even have now, which was really cool, the organization of the corporation called Internal Revenue Service in Delaware, and it was signed by three people. And so now we're going to show you how they kind of keep you under their thumb. Now, I get to see documents all the time. People ask me to read documents for them. And just kind of proofreading them before they send them off to a de facto court for either, I mean, it's anywhere from, this is incredible. I'm going to give you the wide range. Dog at large to federal incarceration for 97 years. So we get to see a lot of that stuff, and the grand jury gets to see a lot of that stuff here. We're going to talk about another thing that they have the ability to get you into their corner, and you don't even realize you're doing it. But if you send something to a court with a zip code on it, you're saying, I'm a slave, and I'm a debtor to your organization, and I have agreed to help you pay back that debt. So be careful with the zip code. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all this is all that stuff is scary, at least, to go against the court, even for a small traffic ticket. And I can tell you that I have been on both ends of the stick, done a little jail time for contempt of court because I didn't understand a few small rules. I understand those rules now. I also know how to get the ticket thrown out of court before it is even brought before a trial. I mean, just in a hearing. I've been able to recently help with documentation where we didn't even go to court. We sent in enough documentation so that the judge understood who we were and what that ticket was all about, which is commerce. We paid him well for releasing his what we call subrogation. All these things are really cool for if you're willing to learn and study. All this stuff is just a computer away from responding to the judge or to a clerk of the court, because that's where the instance lies. But the zip code is voluntary. If you look at it, it says see Domestic Mail Services Regulation Section 122.32. You should also know that the Postal Service cannot discriminate against the non-use of the zip code. Does anybody know you can send a letter anywhere in the world for 3 cents? 3 cents. Now, here's some homework for you to do this week. I would like for you all to send me a letter here, 1920 West Peoria, with a 3 cent stamp on it. But here's the only catch. You have to spell out the return address all the way. You can't abbreviate Arizona. You can't abbreviate Mr. It has to be all spelled out, everything. And write it in what we call proper English, upper lowercase, and put it in the mail. The reason why I'm making that a point is because Bern, Switzerland is the head postal service for the world. That's why Switzerland is always in a neutral position. They don't enter any wars because they are the first original jurisdiction for postal and for treaties. So if you are an international citizen by way of registered mail through bonds in Bern, Switzerland, you may have some immunities in corporate venues. Did I say that like Winston Drew?
Yeah.
Now, if you didn't understand that stuff, that's extremely powerful. And all you have to do is look it up. Okay, let's go to the next.
Where do you look it up?
Online. Pull up the Washington District of Columbia Act. You can also look up Winston Shroud and write down this word, Kelowna, K-E-L-O-W-N-A. When you pull that up on Google for video search, a link will come up, and it's 9 or 10 videos. I think there's 9 videos there. I watched the first video at least 100 times. Now, I was going to bed at night with the video on and watching it until I fell asleep, but I put it on repeat. Now, that's called brainwashing. I don't care what you call it. Some of the friends I had when I started this deal are gone. It scared the heck out of them that I was talking this way. But the people that I met along the way have replaced them fourfold. I mean, I found a friend in Hal Epperson, and man, have we been through some stuff together. We got this third brain sticking out back here, our second brain that's, you know, got all this information in it. And when we understand how to use it, it's just like, lets off the pressure and go, wow, remember that? And so we've really won some battles together. You guys can do the same thing, and we'd love to be a part of your life that way so that we can encourage you to go on. We met with an attorney the other day, and he says, I won several cases. I used contract law only, and I asked for the note, and all three times they couldn't find it. We just lucked out. They couldn't find it. And I said, dude, there are no notes. There's no notes. And he goes, what do you mean? I go, let me give you a document so you don't think I'm crazy, but it's called Where the Fraud Begins. They get you to sign, they pay off the note with your signature, then they take that deed and they make 40 to 50 copies of it, they put them in securities-backed mortgages, And whoever's holding the original is the fraud. That's the guy that committed the fraud. So they have Brinks armored cars come in, and they shred them by the thousands a day so that there's no, and then they sell it to somebody real quick. So who made the copies? Who made all the copies? I don't know. We ain't got the original. We don't know. So the original's gone. And he goes, "You're kidding me." And I looked at him like, "You don't know this stuff? Are you kidding me?" I go, "You can call the ball on them every time because there isn't, unless it's a private note that somebody loaned somebody else the money and kept the deed in their safe, they're never going to find it." And he looked at me and I said, "But you got to be real careful, because if you use this too much, you're going to stand out and the bankers are going to make sure the other lawyers have you for lunch. So be real careful." Is that the truth? They'll just buy him out. They'll say, "Hey, you're going to make a couple million dollars over the next couple years on this deal. Let's just get you to do something else. Let's have you do criminal, or we'll have you do accidents, or we'll have you do insurance stuff. We'll just have you do something else, and we'll pay your way." And he'll disappear from doing that kind of work again. So I told him, be very careful. But here's, I want to explain the zip code. Citizen of the District of Columbia. You see down here at the bottom where it says subject of Congress, and a citizen of the District of Columbia who is a resident. Okay, that means you're just residing here, that you're not part of this, and you're part of the District of Columbia. So when you sign anything with a zip code, that's what it's telling you. The receipt of mail with a zip code is one of the requirements for the IRS to have jurisdiction to send you notices. Has anyone notified the IRS and told them that you don't have a zip code? Nobody has. Why didn't they tell us? They have a form that you can fill out and send to them. And here's the reason why. Whenever they pass an act, a statute, a code, they're not laws. So they have to give you remedy. They have to give you a way out. They don't have to tell you where it's at, but they have to have it. It's like coming into this building. Does anybody know where the fire exit is? All we have to have is one, okay? And we can have it marked, but we don't have to have it lit up. That's what their program is. They don't have to tell you where it's at. So like I was explaining two weeks ago, these are all the laws. The remedy for the law over here on the top left may be down here in another statute, but they always give us remedy so that we don't have to participate. If you see, in fact, the Internal Revenue Service has adopted the zip code areas as internal revenue districts. See the Federal Register, Volume 51, Number 53, that's one of your remedies, Wednesday, March 19, 1986. See, they understood later on in life, oh man, these guys are getting us, so we gotta be careful, because International could come in and say we're doing something fraudulent. Does anybody know that the IRS answers to someone? Well, the IMF kind of has a thing with going on with the IRS, but raise that up a little more. The Postal Service is a private corporation, a quasi-governmental agency. However, they signed a treaty with Bern, Switzerland, and UPU, Universal Postal Union. That's it, Universal. Okay. So they are under laws also, and if they violate any of those laws, the postmaster, whoever violated that law, okay, is in big trouble. Now, I sent a certified mail to a court in Kane County, Utah, and it said that it was signed for on the 7th, and he gave it back to me. But it was entered into the court record on the 6th. Now, how could they enter it into the record on the 6th if they didn't receive it till the 7th? I don't know, but I went and asked a couple of questions and filled out a form, and that postmaster is gone. I don't know where he went. Now, I suppose that there's some insurance money to collect on that. I wasn't after anybody's job, and I'm not really looking to get rich. I just asked a question. I'll tell you how powerful that was. When I took in a court document that was stamped and sealed, that was entered in on the 6th of October, and his note said that it wasn't signed for by the 7th, means that they left that mail with the court and didn't get a signature until the next day. That's bad news for him. Now, I'm just telling you some of these things so that maybe you'll understand before you sign something, before you put your zip code on it. Maybe you ought to think about a few things before you put your zip code on, especially if you're trying to make a statement that you're not in a zip code. Single piece rates, right there. It says bearing a simplified address. Raise it down just a little bit. Okay. Zip codes may be omitted from pieces of mail by the general public at the single piece rates for first class mail and standard mail, and from pieces bearing a simplified address. So we went over that with a simplified address. No abbreviations. Let's raise it up some more. This is your homework for next week. What does your zip code with a dash 9998 mean?
Subdivision, non-domestic without the U.S.
That's what it means right there. Now, non-domestic without the U.S. They're telling you that if you don't want to reside in the IRS's jurisdiction or any federal district jurisdiction, just put that on your mail. So whenever you sign up for something, your Verizon bill, your water bill, you get free dog food in the mail, and they want to know how your dog liked it, and you send it back. -9998 means you don't live in the United States. You live in America. Did you guys know there's a difference between the United States and America? It's a huge difference. Go ahead.
What is the 9998? I mean, what are the 5Xs?
That's your zip code. So if you live in Flagstaff, it's 86004-9998, and you put it in boxes like that, and that relieves you of any responsibility as a resident to help pay back the debt of a nation.
Well, then, I thought you just said don't use zip codes.
If you want to use...
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, when you do the 9998 thing, that's the same type of information that we use right there available in Talker's Archive. That takes you outside of the United States corporation jurisdiction. And you can use that very effectively when dealing with your bill collecting and so forth. Does anybody have any questions? Go ahead and raise your hand, and I will recognize your hand. And you can ask your question or comment, make your comment right here. We have area code 703. Come on in.
How you doing, Talker? This is Sister Alicia Bay. How are you?
I'm just fine, Sister. What's on your mind?
Okay, the guy before this guy was talking about dealing with the court, and when you go in, you can be a messenger. I didn't get his information. Would that be up there later on, or would it be in your library?
That's already in there. All of it, right in there. All the plugs that you are listening to this evening is already in there.
Okay, that's even there. The one just was talking about the 9998 as well.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. He's in there with. I got more information on him that won't be presented here this evening, but it's in there.
Okay.
It's going there.
I'm not
going to
take up a lot of time.
Our discharge debt link.
Right. I'll give somebody else a chance to talk. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else with a question or comment, go ahead and raise your hand, and we can get right on to you. If you got any questions coming, now's the time to raise your hand.
I think they taught us from first grade on up till where we're at now that you live in where? And you say, I live in Page. I live in Flagstaff. I live in Phoenix. The judge has heard you say, I'm dead. I don't have anything to do with this, and I can't speak. That's why you have to have an attorney speak for you, because you're dead. You're a corporation. You're a corp. These are the words that they use. If you look up corporation, it means dead. Something dead. Corpse. Comes from the word corpse. You guys, come on, man. These are just words. We can do this. Okay, the Postal Service cannot discriminate against the non-use of the zip code. See Postal Reorganization Act, Public Law 91375. That's about the fifth bullet down. In 1997, I attended a seminar on state citizenship and traffic issues. A page in the seminar handout titled The Patriot, Zip Code Use Invokes Federal Jurisdiction. It had this to say, and I'm not including material already covered in above. That's really a heavy thing right there, because a lot of the Patriot people understand this. Now, I'm not saying I'm a Patriot, and I'm not saying I'm not. What I'm saying is, give to Caesar what's Caesar's. And when you understand who Caesar is, it's really a cool thing. Okay, raise this up some more. I got to show you what, this is the coolest thing I've seen in a long time that I found. Keep going on up. State abbreviations. Okay, right there. Remember the claim above that said the Pennsylvania Commonwealth is one of the several states, and the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania is also known as PA? It's a subdivision of the District of Columbia. If you accept postal matters sent to PA and or with a zip code, the courts say that this is evidence that you are a federal citizen or a resident. Now, one of the tricks of the trade is they don't have to tell you why you're in dishonor when you come to court. And they have to get your consent, and they have to get your consent several different ways. This is one of them. So if you respond to the court with a zip code, or you tell the judge if you're in a zip code when you tell him your name and address, you are done. Okay? So, now here's the cool thing. This was in the document from 1998, fourth edition, 1968 is also some great stuff. But if you look at the state name Alabama, the U.S. Postal Service says that they're not yet a state. Alaska is not yet a state. It's spelled out Alaska. Arizona is not yet a state. Now let's look at the states that are states. Raise that up a little higher. Connecticut, Delaware, Georgia.
Or the 13 colonies?
The 13 states. Wow, the several states. Do you see how deep they've buried all this stuff from us? And all we got to do is read. All this stuff is on the internet. They have to give you notice. The cool part is they give us notice in movies. I mean, they gave us notice with The Wizard of Oz. They gave us notice with The Matrix. All these things are for us to understand that we can participate in the act or we can decide not to play in the act. Now, here's a thing that we learned 9 months ago. When you're walking around, let's say you're jogging or using exercise around a basketball court, and there's a bunch of guys playing basketball on the court. Did you get the word court? Did you get the word court?
Yeah.
Okay. And as you're walking by, somebody says, hey, come on, play some basketball with us. And you go, man, I don't want to play basketball, thanks. I'm going to get some exercise here. And you just keep walking. Well, they throw the ball to you. When you catch the ball, you're in the game. That's it. So what we were learning was to dodge the ball. So we're playing dodgeball while they're playing basketball. So we'd go to court, and we would dodge the ball. What's your name? Why do you need my name? What's your address? What's your birthday? I mean, we're doing all this stuff. Now we've come to the point where we just catch the ball, and we hold on to the ball. Game's over. That's our right. That's the republic working properly. We just like to walk off the basketball court with the ball. See, everything that the judge gives you is an offer. If you go to McDonald's and you order something, who has to pay? So when the judge orders you to do something, who's got to pay for it? The judge has to pay for it. His next job is to fake you into paying it. You guys understand that? He wants you to be surety for his order. Now, I'm telling you all this, though, there's a lot of people that are staring at me like I'm crazy, but there's a lot of people out there that know exactly what I'm saying because they've done this, okay? How do you cancel a contract? Go ahead.
You just leaked up
it. Okay, what he said was you can amend any contract as long as you're in honor in the original contract. So if I have, let me say this is a good analogy. I tell Thomas, I'm going to take out your trash for the next 10 years. I'll live right next to you. Have I told this on tape before? Have I told this on?
Last week.
Okay. I'm going to tell it again. It's a really great way. And so I take out his trash every Saturday morning for 8 years. I get sick and tired of it. Now, I told him I'm going to take out his trash no matter what, rain or shine, I'm going to take out your trash for you every Saturday morning. So I roll it out for him. After 8 years, I go, man, I am sick and tired of taking out this guy's trash. He didn't even tell me thanks. And you know what? He's not even hitting the trash can now. He's just throwing it out kind of on the side yard. I got to pick it all up and put it in the trash can. So I notice him. Tom, I'm getting tired of taking out your trash. I know I told you I would, but I'm getting kind of tired of it. You haven't been hitting the trash can, and this isn't what I really thought it would be. I thought I'd get a little more thanks for it. And so here's what I'm going to tell you. If you can come up with some really good idea or reason or some kind of amendment why I shouldn't cancel this contract, please let me know in the next 21 days, or I am canceling this contract. And by the way, if you don't respond, you get to take out my trash for the next 8 years. And I send it to him. But I don't just take it over. I got to have a witness. So I use a notary presentment, which is Mr. Jones, the next door neighbor from all of us. So Mr. Jones goes over and goes, hey, Tom, here you go. Bill's picked. So he reads it and he goes, well, he can't change that. I ain't got time to answer it. Got a wedding to go to, whatever. So then I send a second notice. Mr. Jones, would you take this over? You haven't responded to my first notice, therefore, I'm giving you a second notice. No response. The third notice I give to Mr. Jones, I go, hey, would you take this over and tell him the deal's over? He takes it over and he gives him his third notice, all signed, sealed, and he witnesses it. Now, he gets up a month later and he says, hey, my trash is piling up, Bill. And I go, didn't you get my notice? He goes, yeah, but you can't change the contract. Oh, but I did. And it's now enforceable. Because you didn't respond. You acquiesced. That's how they get you in court. That's how they get you on a traffic ticket. That's how they get you to be in dishonor, which is the same thing as default. So I said, by the way, you got to take out my trash for the next 8 years because you didn't respond. That's how you cancel a contract. So let's say the IRS, anybody, I shouldn't use the word IRS. Let's say that you get something in the mail that you don't agree with. You can say, I accept your offer on the condition that you can show me the law, not statute, says I have to do that. and you have 21 days to respond. You send it back to, can they respond? They can't respond, because if they told the truth, they would show the fraud. So what they do is they just don't respond. How many people on here sent something to Timothy Geithner in the last year? Anybody get a response back from him?
Nope.
That's because we're telling the truth, and he knows it. Great, we got some guys that are going to help pay the bills around here. How many people use the IRS to pay the bills? Right on. Look at this out here, man. There's guys here that use the bank called the Internal Revenue Service to help us out. They're the enforcers. How would you like to have them out collecting your debts? Man, I love it. Those guys are on it. And there's forms so that you can get those guys to do that for you. They put it out for you. If you need us to collect debts for you, let us know. If you're a creditor, let us know who they are so we'll go get it for you. Great. Well, it happened to be a court. We'll go get them. Happen to be a traffic ticket. We'll get them. I mean, their motto is, we'll get them for you. All you got to do is learn how to use those guys. Okay? Remember this, that you are the sponsor of the credit of the nation. You're the sponsor of the credit for this nation. Without you guys, there'd be nothing. Your family, your grandparents, your great-grandparents, did they give you a check? Did they get you into probate and tell you that you guys are wealthy? Did they tell you that there's inheritances beyond your wildest dreams for you to use? They didn't tell you that, because they don't have to. All they had to do was give the remedy. They didn't have to tell you where it's at. So listen, you guys, if you want to become a secure party creditor, I highly recommend it. But don't take it lightly.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. Now, keep in mind that in the Wyndham Hotel on the August the 16th and the 18th, we will host our second Moorish Summit. So make sure you make your preparations for that so that y'all can be down here. And on the 30th and 31st, I'll be in Louisiana. And for information about that and how to get your seating and all to watch this conference, dial Mike Robertson L at 225-445-6018. That's 225-445-6018. We'll be right there in Louisiana. He'll give you all the particulars of exactly where it's going to be at, the seating arrangements, everything right there. So don't miss this informative presentation. I will deliver the information there at that time. Now, if any of you have any more questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hands. We got 46 minutes, so there's plenty of time for you to say what you got to say or get your questions and comments presented. Also, keep in mind, we're still giving away our free articles. For those of you who are new, just dialing in, the 14th Amendment Exposed, as well as the Commerce Game and Secrets of America. And the way you get that, just send me an email. Say, give me the free articles you're talking about. Send that to tahaka53@hotmail.com, and I will rush that to you. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and continue, but in the meantime, anytime during this broadcast, go ahead and raise your hands.
Did she turn 16 shades of green? She started shaking like a leaf because what she had done, she committed fraud. She took that oath of office and she left it on the coffee machine back there, and she didn't bring my coffee. She didn't bring me back the original because she knew what was going on. So when I gave her the last one, I said, now when you leave with this one, I expect you to bring this one back to me. So I went this original. And I want you to bring me back another one. And she turned around, and when she went back the corner, we seen the judge creak out behind the door, didn't we? Because he knew he'd been had. I'm telling you right now. The problem is, he wasn't really had, because it's a corporation, okay? And I agreed to the terms and conditions somewhere along the way. When I pointed that out to him, I said, because your oath of office is in the box, it's a four corners rule, the seal doesn't pertain to the oath, and the person that signed it didn't sign it all the way on the paperwork, so this is all fraud, and you sent it to me with the intent for fraud. And if you don't have an oath of office, all cases that you have heard in the last 10 years, or since this thing was signed in 1993, are all void.
No.
And I handed it to him over the bench so he could read it. And when he saw that, the attorney knew his boss man was cooked, and so they both conspired real quick and said, could you please contain the defendant? And I went, uh-oh. Would you please make the defendant shut up? He's making a ruckus here. And I went, I'm not saying a word. What's going on here? The next thing I knew, they pulled a fast one on me, and I was in the county slammer for 5 days. But that's
how'd you get out?
I was nice to the jailer. I made friends while I was in there. They let me out. But anyway, so this Four Corners rule is really an incredible thing if you understand how it works. When you read documents, start looking for it. Anything that's in a square box does not pertain to the contract. And everything is a contract that you get, whether it's a bill, a ticket, an offer, anything that comes from the court is an offer. Now I'm going to show you something else that works out. Let's say this is the courtroom.
Backing up a little bit, where you talk about where you send in a bill and you write your amount in the box and you send it in and they put it in a secret account and after 3.5 years they say it's abandoned and they take the money, how do you go about saying it isn't abandoned? I want my money back. If you
have
to ask your client, if you don't, you've got an area to research.
that's a great question, but I really can't answer that. And the reason why I can't is because there's a trust between the trust account called your CESQ, birth certificate trust, and the people that are managing that birth certificate trust. It'd be like me jumping over the fence into the plantation and telling the slaves, you don't have to work tomorrow. There's 100 of us. We can take the boss. Okay, I can't do that. So as the plantation owner's slaves sneak out one at a time and come on over to my house for some banana pudding, we can talk about that stuff, okay? You understand what I'm saying?
I know.
Okay, now when you walk into court, do you remember the old saying, you're hung by the words of your mouth? You can't catch a fish if he keeps his mouth shut. And then they tell you, they give you notice. They tell you anything you say can and will be. They're going to use everything you say because they're going to twist it, they're going to turn it, they're going to do whatever. So if you don't say anything, okay, about your case, you win. Now, I'm going to show you why. When you walk into a court, I'm going to make this a square box right here. This is a separate deal over here. You walk in, let's say this is the doors coming in, and they have the peanut gallery right here, right? Everybody recognize that? And you got all these seats.
Yeah.
I call them the church pew, and then there's another gate right here.
Right.
And that's called the bar. The bar stands for British Accredited Registry, but that's where you get on the ship. Now, you know they have these posts like this, and it looks like the side of a ship?
Yeah.
That's notice. You're about to board an enemy vessel. Now, there's a couple that don't have them because they can't afford them. I think they use them to keep the place warm in the wintertime. They burn them in the fireplace or whatever. But anyway, there is a bar somewhere. And if there isn't one, you say to the judge, excuse me, sir, further on the record, where's the bar? Where's the bow of your ship? Where's the stern of your ship? I don't recognize it. They'll know what you're talking about. Okay, so if these guys say anything in your case back here in this box, how does it help or hurt your case? It doesn't, because you can't hear it. Over here, there's a jury, and this is where the jury sits. And what are they sitting in?
Box.
Can they hear anything you're saying?
No.
It's all for show. It's a dog and pony show. Now, up here on the left side, well, let's go ahead and use this one. This is where the guy in the black robe sits. And he's sitting in a what?
Box.
Okay. And next to him, there's the clerk of the court. And then over here, we've got maybe a stenographer. And over here, we've got a witness stand. So anybody that's testifying, what are they in? Okay, so there's only two guys in this box, and that's called the court. It's like a basketball game.
Mm-hmm.
In common law, this is how all this works. Once they get you on their ship, none of this works. So you got to be careful how you get on the ship. This guy shoots a cannonball at you, and you shoot a cannonball back. This guy shoots a cannonball, and you shoot a cannonball back. Okay? And the last guy to shoot a cannonball wins. Bible says the last man to walk away wins. The first man to leave the battlefield loses. So he says something, and you say something, and he says something, and you say something, and you're getting hung by the words of your mouth every time you talk, because they don't care what you're saying. What you're saying is, you must have been there. You must have been in the car. You must have been Steve. There's a couple of guys who went to court with me, and I won hands down, and I never, ever said I was on the motorcycle doing 55, 45. I wasn't. I didn't say any of that. I didn't bring up the whole point. Because the cop got up here and talked in this bench. He got up there on the witness stand. Now, how many people have been to a court and had a cop just tell the story from over here? If you get them in the box, whatever they're saying doesn't matter because the judge can't hear it. It's not part of the record. I know it sounds crazy.
But he physically hears it.
He can hear it. What I said to him was the officer started talking, and I said, excuse me, objection. And the judge says, what are you objecting to? And I said, is he going to swear in? And the judge says, raise your right hand and swear after me. And the cop looked at me and looked at him like, wow, I've never sworn in before. So he swore him in. Now he's taking an oath on the word that he's going to tell the truth. So he started talking, and I go, objection. The judge goes, what are you objecting to now? I said, is he going to get on the witness stand? And so he says, would you like to take the witness stand? And the officer said, okay, I'll take the witness stand. Now, I'm not kidding you guys. I'm not kidding you. So he went around here and got on here and talked. Now, when he got all done, I said to the judge, I said, look, and I'm here in honor. I'm a secure party creditor. Where's the bill? I haven't gotten an order. And the judge says, I'd like to move to my verdict. And I said, I object to moving to your verdict. Require to give me remedy here. Where's my remedy? And the judge says, I'd like to move to my verdict if you would, please. Now, this is a shortened version because it went for about 15 minutes. I wanted to throw up 14 of it. He says, in the matter of the state of Arizona versus William Del Fausto, I find that the officer did not properly identify William Del Fausto. Therefore, I must dismiss the ticket. And he slammed his gavel, got him, walked out. And I went, wow, that went fast. What happened? And Hal goes, oh, yeah, can you believe it worked? The cop knows me. He's known me for 10 years. He knew me 9 years before he wrote me the ticket. And he said, I don't understand what just happened. And I said, you probably won't ever understand. I'm not going to tell you what I did. And we walked out of there that day, and that cop was just shaking his head like, I don't get it. You're William Del Fausto. I got you. I saw you. I did this. I wrote you the ticket. You showed up in court. I did everything right. And the cop, what are you, friends with the judge?
Was about $1,400 worth of
fines. Yeah, $1,400 worth of fines, and I never argued about anybody. I just said, yeah, give me the deal. Go ahead.
Did you give the court your name?
I didn't. There's three contracts.
We leave if we don't.
Does this make sense to you, 3, 3, and 3?
No.
Your Social Security has 9 numbers. There's a lot of things that have 3, 3, and 3. Okay. The first thing the judge asks you is, what's your name? First, middle, and last. That's 3. Is anybody's name really what they call you? I mean, nobody around here calls me William. Call me Bill. So I said to the judge, my name is Bill. I'm here as a friend of the court, Amicus Curiae, and I'd like to help out the court. Is there anything I can do in that capacity? So he says, are you in fact Mr. Faust? Now, Mr. is a fiction. Mr. Faust is actually the all capital letters name because that's a fiction. So I said, no, my name is Bill. I wanted to tell him my friends call me Bill, my kids call me Dad, my wife calls me good looking. But don't you call me good looking, sir. I said, if you would, please call me Bill. That would be great. So he said, are you in fact Mr. Faust? Now, if I would have said yes, I would have lied, wouldn't I? Because in fact, I am not a fiction. So they're just looking for you to lie. So I said, no, my name is Bill. And if you would, please. And he interrupted me. I said, excuse me, you interrupt. So he said, would you please take the defendant's chair? And he pointed to the defendant's chair. It was right about here. So I walked up and I go, would it be all right if I took that chair as a secure party creditor with all my unalienable rights in full effect? And he didn't say anything. I said, for the record, no one's objected to me taking the seat with my unalienable rights in full effect. Therefore,
what do you think, unalienable?
Unalienable. I call him unalienable. Doesn't that make more sense? He can't lien my rights. They wrote it unalienable.
Right.
But if you get to the root of it, it's unalienable. Unalienable. That means they can't lien your rights. See, when you walk in there, if you give up your rights, they're leaning on you. So I said, so since no one has objected to that, I'm going to go ahead and enter these proceedings under my own terms and conditions. And therefore, I feel comfortable sitting here, so I'm just going to sit on this side of the ship. Only I didn't say ship. I said, I'm going to sit on this side of the bar. I said, you can continue. How's that for telling the judge what to do?
So where did you sit down then?
So then I sat down right over here in the peanut gallery with my buddy.
Okay.
Okay. I got some moral support. They were poking me in the back and shooting me with paper clips. But anyway, so then he said, what's your address? There's your address. Street, city, and state. So I said, the proof of claim that you have here today, does it require that? And he said, I ask you a question. And I said, I'll give you that upon proof of claim. So then he asked me the next thing, what's your birthday? Now let me tell you what your birthday is. Day, month, and year. Now, they just snuck it right by you, because they spell birth. And when did you bring your vessel into our port so that we could tax you? That's what they're asking. So here's how I handled that. Sir, I could not possibly tell you what my birthday was. I was awfully young when I was born. And if I told you what day my parents told me, that would be hearsay. And hearsay is inadmissible in a court of law.
Good going, buddy.
Now, this is all stuff that I thought of. A lot of it I got from the anti-terrorist on the video. If you watch anti-terrorist, he's really great on avoiding all this stuff. But at some point, you got to quit avoiding, and you got to get in there, and you got to have some contact with the judge. So he interrupted me again, and I told him, you've interrupted me twice. If you do that again, you're in dishonor. Now, what do they call him? Honorable whatever. Okay? He has to act in honor. So I said to him, have you taken an oath of office? And he said, I have. And I said, do you have that oath here today? He said, well, it's in the back. I said, did you swear on the word of God when you took that oath? He said, I did. I said, did you sign it? He said, I did.
So I said, I adjudicate your oath of office here today in this matter. Do I need to explain that to you? He said, yeah, why don't you explain that to me? If I'm lying, I'm dying. I said it just like that. I said, you want me to explain that to you? He says, yeah, why don't you explain that to me? I said, that means you can't practice law from the bench. That means you can't counsel from the bench. That means you're here as a mediator only, and it's between me and this guy right here. Do you understand that? Now, I want to tell you that I filed some stuff in on the private side before I went to court. You guys need to understand that. I filed some stuff on the private side before I went into the court, so the judge kind of had an idea who I was there before I got there. Okay? So that makes things go a little simpler. But at some point, you guys are going to have to stand up for yourself and let them know that you're not a U.S. citizen, if that's what you choose not to be. If you want to be a U.S. citizen, I was one for 49 years. As this goes on, you see all these boxes are really in my favor because this guy is acting. He's acting because he's Officer Jones. Whenever you put a name in front of somebody's name, it turns them into an actor. And he's acting because he's part of the DMV Act. And you can tell that they're all acting because they wear costumes. He was wearing an officer's costume when he showed up. He was wearing an officer's costume when he pulled me over. This is funny, isn't it? And the judge, he's wearing a costume. He's acting like a judge. So who's the only real man in the audience? Me. You see what I'm saying, guys? This is all very simple. The Republic is there for us to use and to work it. All you have to do is study. Now, I'm not giving anybody any coaching here, because I will tell you that if you get in there and you don't understand what's going on, they're going to turn you around. But it's okay to learn. I've learned it at the very end. I said, hey, I'm sorry I messed up. I asked for your forgiveness. And if you ask the judge for your forgiveness, for his forgiveness, and you make him say yes or no before you can move on, that hides a multitude of sins. Remember that one.
That's also scriptural.
That's right. Because forgiveness is what? Debt? Our debtors? All this is biblical, guys. If we sat down, I could whip out the Word of God and I could show you exactly how we've gotten into the point of no return with several exits coming up that you can get off and turn around and get your boat going the other way.
Okay. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're trying to bring as much information that you can use, and all it takes is practice and study, because I'm here in Florida, even though I talk to brothers and sisters on a daily basis from all over the United States, outside the United States, and other countries, small countries, and I try to get them to understand that I can give you a tool, but it's going to be left up to you to use that tool in order to defend yourself and protect yourself from where you are, because we're hundreds of miles apart. And the best thing that I can do for you is provide you with something that you can use for yourself. I can bring that horse to the water, but I can't make that horse drink. So it behooves you to study. You're going to have to study in order to deal with these people, with these courts, stopping you on the streets. You got to be prepared. You want to have your recording devices inside your vehicle. And you want to deal with them prior to going to any courts. You want to learn how to do up your affidavits, learn who to send it to, what to say in it, how to put them in a position where they dare not call you in a courtroom. Because once you let them know that you know who you are and that you know what you are doing and that they could very well run the risk of having a serious problem down there, more than likely they'll leave you alone. It works for me. I always love to try to implement the administrative procedure process prior to doing anything else. I'll exhaust that, so when I do go in there, if I ever have to, I'm going in as a litigant.
How many here have listened to Billy before?
Yeah.
All right. How many here have learned a lot?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, that boy has rocked my world. My I don't sleep anymore. Not at all. In fact, I'll tell you what I did, a little quick story. Billy talks about all the time how he listens to Winston Shroud. Mm-hmm. So what I did is I downloaded Winston Shroud's videos that Billy recommended last time. Yeah. And I put it in Real Player, and I converted them into MP3s. and I put them on my iPod, and that's what I'm rocking to when I go to sleep. So I love it. All right. Is everybody ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's hear it for Billy. All right, guys. Some really important stuff that I found out. We're going to make a joke of it tonight, like we usually do. We had some really good victories this week. Ron Dunn, well, he won. His little case, yeah. I don't know how many hours of paperwork filed into the court, but he walked away a winner. Dismissed. That's really cool. And, you know, everybody needs to hear a victory once in a while because, you know, we're getting clobbered on their hockey, I guess you call it their hockey ring. And we go out there with basketball shorts on and basketball shoes, and then they tell us we're playing hockey, and it's just not fair. Some other friends went to court with them. Does anybody know the power of attorney? Did you know that you can have counsel with you in any court as a litigation? All you got to do is give them power of attorney to walk in with you?
Mm.
We showed up in court, and we were waiting around for the pirate ship to open up. They'd raised their flag and let us know that they were pirating. We went in there voluntarily, because if we didn't, they would have voluntarily thrown us in jail, or at least my friend and his wife. But anyway, we got there, and some really good things I found out by going to different courts to see how they're blatant about things and how they're sneaky about things. These people were pretty blatant. There was a lady there that looked like a bowling ball with a birthday hat on. Is it okay if I pick on her since she's not here to defend herself? She's a real aggressive. You could tell she hadn't been told no much in her life. But anyway, she starts yelling out, John Henry Doe! John walked over and says, my name is John. I'm here on that matter, and I'm a third-party intervener. And she says, are you John Henry Doe? He said, my name is John, and I'm here to take care of the matter. Are you John Henry Doe or not? And he was being polite, but she wasn't. So me being the guy that I was real polite back there, and I go, hey, listen, he's already answered that question 3 times. Now, you're getting ugly with him, and I don't appreciate it. He answered you 3 times. The answer is not going to change no matter how many times you get louder or get ugly, so you need to knock it off. She did. She knocked it off. She looked at me and she said, what's your name? She's trying to contract with me. What's your name? I want to contract with you. I said, my name is Amicus Curie. Write that down. About that time, a security guard walks up looking at what's going on, and I go, hey, thanks for coming over. We need you here. This lady just assaulted my friend verbally, emotionally, and mentally, and it's not right. All of a sudden, she, instead of being on her side, she kind of turned on our side and went, really, what's going on? And I say, well, she just got all out of line. He answered it 3 times, and she's still brutalizing him. I mean, what's the point? She's trying to get him to say something that he's not. I said, no, you need to knock it off. Well, she walks off, and I said, I need your name because we're going to file a complaint against you. So the lady that walks over says, well, I'm with the victim's advocate. I said, great, he's a victim. He was just assaulted. She goes, really? What happened? I said, that lady right there, who is she? I'm going to file a complaint against her. She goes, her name is so-and-so. Like right away, hey, finally, somebody's going to stand up to that bowling ball. I'm just telling you what happened. So anyway, things are going well, you know. I don't know that she said, this is one thing that she said. I need your name on this paperwork for my paperwork. And I go, that's your paperwork. We don't give a crap about your paperwork. Do we?
No.
Is that my responsibility?
No.
I hope she gets fired for not getting it right. And if you're listening to this lady, you are a bowling ball with a bad attitude. All right? Somebody needs to throw you down an alley.
Whoa!
Alright. So there's some really important things that we're finding out. How many people have sent stuff to the court and didn't have any luck or any positive response? Raise your hand. Okay. I'm going to give you some insight, maybe why you didn't. Now, there's a lot of people out here that haven't had any interaction with the court and are afraid of the court. It's kind of like getting ready for the Super Bowl. They don't let you know that you're playing until Saturday night, and you get there Sunday morning, and they don't tell you what's going to happen. So, for educational purposes only,
We're going to be, thank you for giving me that cue. Please remind me to say that every once in a while. So there's a couple of rules that they don't tell us. Now, I'm gonna go down this path. You know how I do. I'm going to give you a bunch of information. You're not going to know where to store it. Okay? So just leave it floating around on your desktop. And when we get to the end of this, I'm going to tell you which file to open to stick it in there. So can Brad, well, when Brad gets back here, he must have had to go get another drink. I'm just kidding. We're not drinking here tonight yet. The Secretary of State, has anybody ever thought about what their job is and why it's even there? Who gives the notary the ability to do what they do? Secretary of State. Now, why is it so important for the Secretary of State to sign your documents? I mean, think about it. You got a witness, you can show up with your travel license or your driver's operating thing.
Notarizing the notary?
I mean, they've already pulled you into a corner, stapled the number on your forehead, an SS number. Does anybody know what the SS is? I'm just telling you what I read. I don't know what it means. But it sure sounds like something else, doesn't it? But anyway, it's crazy, these words, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what is the job of the Secretary of State? Under the Constitution, the President of the United States determines U.S. foreign policy. The Secretary of State, appointed by the President, with the advice and consent of the Senate, is the President's chief foreign affairs advisor. Created in 1789, that was a long time ago,
right, by
the Congress as the successor to the Department of Foreign Affairs, the Department of State is a senior executive department of the U.S. government. Notice I said U.S. government. I didn't say American government, did I? Okay. The Secretary of State's duties relating to foreign affairs have not changed significantly since then. Ah, but they have. Okay. But they have become far more complex as international commitments multiplied. These duties, the activities and responsibilities of the State Department include the following. Now remember, we're looking for weird words, right? Look for words that just don't mix. Like jumbo shrimp.
Yeah.
You can't get a jumbo shrimp. They're all shrimps. Okay. You guys are catching on quick. Serves as the President's principal advisor on U.S. foreign policy. Conducts negotiations relating to U.S. foreign affairs. Grants and issues passports to American citizens. Now, somebody told me the other day, or was it today, that they went into the court and tried to file something. No, they went to get an apostille. That's a big word, apostille. Well, what it is it's a stamp from the Secretary of State saying that you can use this document. They're verifying that the notary that signed it actually had a commission, their stamp was good, and they were in good standing with the secretary, so that you can file a document into a foreign country. Okay, that's what an apostille is. And they said, well, what country do you want to file it into? What foreign country? And so they tried to say Arizona, but they wouldn't buy that. So he said, well, it's the United States, and they wouldn't buy that. So he said, well, I'm an American citizen, and it tipped a red flag up. Okay, he had a problem. And he got kind of aggressive, so he had to leave. Why would the U.S. government be so adamant about not helping out an American with a foreigner? Because we're foreigners, okay? Now, we're foreigners, and we're getting some knowledge. Okay, so to the foreign consuls, it says grants and issues passports to American citizens and executors, that's a neat way they spelled it, executors to foreign consuls in the United States. Did that just hit you like a ton of lead bricks? All right. Advises the President on the appointment of U.S. ambassadors, ministers, consuls, and other diplomatic representatives. Are we in a position to be diplomatic representatives for a foreign nation?
Yes.
We're there. Advises the President regarding the acceptance, recall, and dismissal of the representatives of foreign governments. This is going to get crazy here. Personally participates in or directs U.S. representatives
to international conferences, organizations, and agencies, negotiates, interprets, and terminates treaties and agreements, ensures the protection of the U.S. government to American citizens, property, and interests in foreign countries. Are you guys catching this? Okay, when I say American, think of a foreign country, because if you're American, you're foreign. If you're a U.S. citizen, you're domestic. Are you guys seeing this? Do you understand how important it is when you go to court with a traffic ticket, if you want to put an affidavit of truth in there, that it has to be signed and sealed by the foreign government allowing you to bring that paperwork into their jurisdiction? The Secretary of State gives commissions to notary publics for the public to pass through into the court. If you don't do that, you don't have authorization to speak. Do you remember in The Matrix, when he says, I'll take my phone call, and he says, what good is a phone call if you can't speak? So drop your bomb of paperwork on every court from here to New York and see how you get in and see how things happen. Start doing affidavits of truth signed by a notary, and things are different. Okay? For entertainment purposes only. I'm just giving you a thing here. Let's go on with some more of this stuff. Ensures the protection of the U.S. government to American citizens, property and interests in foreign countries. Supervises the administration of U.S. immigration laws abroad. Provides information to who? American citizens. Did you hear U.S. citizens anywhere? I didn't either. It must be a misprint. They must have messed up. This can't be true. Provides information to American citizens regarding the political, economic, social, cultural, and humanitarian conditions in foreign countries. And guess which foreign country they're shoving that stuff in on? Okay, do you remember in 1933 they passed a little thing called H.J.R. 192, and it says that all crimes are commercial. So since then, we've been acting under public, can I say it right? Public policy. Okay? So policy, is policy law?
No.
It is not law. So we're operating under public policy. The Secretary of State knows a lot about policy, lots about policy. And we don't know anything about policy because we think that policy is law. We even think statutes are law. And if you let them, they'll get your consent to operate under those policies. So if I have a policy that you can't wear a certain color shirt and you come to my house, I can enforce that policy, can't I? You'll have to leave with that shirt. It's my policy. Okay? I don't allow drinking before noon on the days that end with D. I'm sorry, the days that end with Y. Those are kind of policies, right? But I can't enforce them at my neighbor's house. Can I?
No.
Hello. I'm Tom Cryer, a lawyer from Shreveport, Louisiana, and one of the organizers of TruthAttack.org. In June 1994, I met a man who claimed that the Internal Revenue Code does not make him liable for the income tax. My life has been changed ever since. I began to research the liability of the federal income tax relative to American citizens, and when I was unable to prove him wrong, I found myself between the horns of a life-changing dilemma. Do I put my head down and pretend that I did not see the truth? Or do I honor my oath to support and defend the rule of law and the Constitution? It was apparent that the government was stealing trillions of dollars from honest, hard-working Americans and their families. It was using that stolen money to expand its reach far beyond its intended role. It is stealing and using our own labor, our own sweat, to destroy our country. I stopped filing federal tax returns and paying the tax and refused to do so unless and until the government could show me it had any right to demand I do either. I was charged with 2 counts of tax evasion for 2000 and 2001. After it backed down to 2 counts of failure to file, I was tried on July 9, 2007 in the Federal District Court here in Shreveport. During that trial, I learned firsthand how far tyranny is advanced within our government and even into our courts. In order to aid the government's prosecutor in the attempt to convict me, the judge violated the rules of evidence and due process by not allowing me to present any physical evidence or material facts. He further tried to hamper my testimony in an effort to prevent the jury from understanding that I did not have any income tax liability and that the law does not say what the IRS tells them it says. Seeing the truth in my words, because they were not permitted to see any evidence, the jury returned a unanimous verdict of not guilty on both counts after only a few hours of deliberation. The reason I'm telling you these things is that those holding positions of governmental responsibility regularly commit seditious acts and then cover them up. It has become everyday practice, and the establishment political industrial complex owned media is part of this cover-up, keeping the truth from American citizens. We must break this code of silence, and the only way open to patriots trying to reestablish truth and justice and restore our constitutional republic is to have our own media outlet, which brings me to the reason for this presentation. Our purpose is to enlist your support to create an over-the-airwaves news talk radio network. We have what we believe to be a workable plan to do this without hurting or putting in danger any patriot's pocketbook. However, before we inform you of how this will work, we have the testimony of patriot leaders that have been fighting the battle for the cause of liberty and constitutional revival for years, showing that they are united in this effort.
Okay, Moles. We're going to the close of the broadcast, but we still have about 12 minutes. So if any of you got any questions or comments, go ahead and raise your hand, and we'll listen to what you have to say. Okay?
Be sure to subscribe to NBTV at NBTV1.com. The people that cares.
Listen up, Morph. This week, we will be adding your survival link to Tahaka Archives. Just go to TahakaArchives.org and get yourself in there. Give me a call. We'll have all your articles there in PDF format. We may put some word there, but we'll definitely have tons of video for you so you can actually see how to go about surviving and increasing and sharpening your survival skills. We're going to add that along with a ton of other information. The way you access it, simply go to TahakaArchives.org. After you do that, contact me, Tahaka Montiel Bay, at area code 904-303-9061 before 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'll see you there. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, that information have been put into the archives. In the survival link, we got approximately 94 videos on survival. Everything from you name it is there. How to deal with the woods, how to make fires, how to certain weapons, how to create your own, how to grow your food, you name it is there. Also, we've added a brand new link called Discharge Debt, and there's over 56 videos in there also. And we've also added some other materials, but once a week we add new materials to the library. And those of you who have the library already know that when you're working on a project or whatever, contact me and we do that together. But for those of you who do not have the most comprehensive archives in the country, give me a call to Haka Amana Elbe, and we'll get you in there and work with you so that you can learn this stuff and become successful. Okay? Hold on.
Come on, make my dream come true. The Love can be so unkind. You are truly blessed when it's true love you find. So woman, don't be afraid to lose control. We must trust our maturity. If we give of ourselves, we can share so much. Love and affection, no longer a dream. Come on, release yourself, and you see what I mean. So woman, don't be afraid. Woman, don't be afraid. Will never rain in your face. Oh, I'm bringing joy to take that place. Let them say that I'm weak for you, but what we have tonight will make us stronger as two. So woman, don't be afraid. Woman, don't be afraid.
Moments left, and I just want to say I thank you all for being here. And don't forget the Morris Summit on August the 16th through the 18th, and don't forget the 30th and 31st. I'll be right there in Louisiana. And the way to gain access to information on that is contact Mike Robertson L at 225-445-6018, and he'll give you all the particulars on my visit there and what we're going to be talking about and discussing in that conference, okay? So I look forward to seeing you all there in person. And I've been your host, Tahaka Amana L. Bay, and we hope you have gotten something out of this broadcast. And we're going to come back and do a final part on this thing, because there's much more information that needs to be brought forward in regards to these things that you can do and learn, okay? So you all have a good night, and everybody stay blessed.